Okay, we have a little appendix, as it were, an addendum to the Machlokas of Shtaras Zayfa of Rava and Rav Yosef, and that's after the two dots, a little past the middle of Lamed Bet and Bet, before we get to our new sugya. How Arva Darmali Lalova Havli Meazuzi Debrach to the Milva Ilaveh Vahashtara. Right, the Arev, the guarantor, cosigner, whatever you want to call him, he paid the loan, right? The Malvikim, the Lova didn't have money, so the Arev had to pay the loan. Good life lesson for everyone here. You get free life lessons in addition to the Gemara. Don't think that if you co-sign a loan, it means you never actually have to pay it. We see from the Gemara that if you co-sign a loan, you might end up paying it. So think carefully before you do so. Okay. In any case, he paid. Of course, the Lova has to pay him back when the Lova gets money. So eventually the Lova got money. They went to the Lova and said, here's the shtar. I mean, he would get the original shtar of the original loan that he would hold on, that he would have as evidence that he was owed the money. Amarle lav piratich. Again, something very similar to the original case where Yosef Belova says, I admit that I owed you this, you know, 1,000 zuzim, but I paid you already. Amar, and he said, similar to the case, you're right, but, you're right, you paid me. But lav hadarta shakaltinu minai. Didn't you go back and reborrow the money from me, so you still owe me? Shoker v'dibar avin, the coming to Abaye ki egam the mayor. V'dibar avin sent a message to Abaye, sent to Shaila Abaye. Is he Naman? Basically, he claims to have made a new loan. Is he Naman on the new loan, but Migo, he could have said it's the old loan? Or is he not? Shoker v'dibar avin, the coming to But you, Dami, help like what they do. Rabba Bar, the Gemini of Yosei, Bezuze, the Hech, the Oak, Bezuze, Lokamu. He's Rabbi, sent back to read Rabbin. Why are you sending this to me? You yourself are the one who already paskin. The halacha is like Rabba in the land and like Rabbi Yosef in the money. And here, of course, the case of the money. The wherever the money is, it stays. Meaning this is exactly the case. He had one star to collect the debt. He admitted that star was puzzle. But claimed there was a different reason he owed him money. And does he have a migor or not? It's a machlokes. And you yourself, Paskin, when it comes to money, that he does not get the money. Then Rishonim asks, okay, why did Ravid Barvin send a shayla to Abaye then, if it was so obvious? And then there are two deos in the Ritva. And Ravid Yonas is something similar in a second. Either Ravid Barvin, he knew the psak. He would just want to know if Abaye agreed with him or not. And then he says, I know what I paskin. I want to know if you agree. And Abaye says, yeah, I agree. Yeah, whatever you said goes. Or maybe he actually had a havmin that this case was different. Maybe at a havmin this case was better because this case, the shtar parua, and maybe a shtar parua is better than, remember the last case was either a shtar amana or a shtar mezuyah, depending on who you ask. It's called shtar zayfa, right? Rabbi Hanan and the Riff and others. Said it was Shtar Mana and the Rambam, and at least one day the Rashbam and others said it was a Shtar Mamish. Maybe this is better, either because if the problem was being a liar, remember Tosa liar? You're more of a liar with a Shtar Mezuyif, and even with a Shtar Mana than with a Shtar Parua. To Shtar Parua, he really did owe you the money, so you're not such a liar, so maybe it's better. And I said back, it's not better. Or you could say in the Rabbeinu Yonah approach, remember the Rabbeinu Yonah Rush approach? Is this shtar enough to make you the muchzak? So you might have said, a shtar mezuyim is not enough to make me a muchzak. Even a shtar amon is not enough to make me a muchzak, because he never actually told me that he's going to owe me the money. But maybe a shtar parua is enough to make me a muchzak. After all, he really authentically agreed to owe me this money. So maybe at a havmin was better, and then Abaye sent him back. That it was no better, it was the same case. In any case, we paskin is the same, and the Gemara just adds one caveat at the end, which is very logical. When is the case that he loses if he says you paid me the 1,000 zuz and then I lent it to you again? Because then that shtar is gone. That shtar is a shtar parua. Really, at least we paskin, it's as bad as a shtar amon or a shtar zoyev. And he can't use the Migo. But if he said, you paid me the 1,000 zuz, but not that I relent it to you, but I gave it back to you because I didn't want to accept it as payment because there were low quality, rusty old coins. Then he never paid the 1,000 zuz, and the shibud of the original shtar is still valid. So that's not a shtar peru, which he then made another loan. That's that it was never a peru because he never accepted the peru. And then he would have a good taina. Then he would have a good taina because the shtar is still 100% valid. It's not amigo that he had about the shtar is valid. Okay, next sugya. Famous.
My kamashvil on the addendum of the sugya.
Ah, you might have, because you might have, I mean, first of all, you could say that maybe some things could be possible, they could say them anyway, but I guess it could have had a havmina that if you pay me back and the coins are a little rusty, and then I say, no, take these back and pay me back better coins, you might have had a havmina that really is considered piron. You're just re-borrowing them to pay back better coins as a favor. Kamashla, no, that really halachically a piron with rusty coins is not a valid piron if the guy doesn't want it, and therefore it wasn't perua. So maybe it is a chiddush that rusty coins are not a valid piron. Okay, famous case of Rava Bar Sharchev. Of course, like all the cases in Cheskes Avatim, which again, I feel is pretty unique in Shas. In all of Shas, there's always a machlokas. What's the svara? What are the, you know, what's the scope of the din, etc. Cheskes Avatim, almost every case, you start with machlokas as to what actually happened before you even analyze the halacha. So this is one of them. The next reader of Yidu Bar Avin is also the Rav Bar Sharchem, Navgali Kala Deka Achal Ardiyasmi. A rumor spread that he was eating the land that belonged to Yisomim. And again, we're going to see exactly what was this rumor. The rumor was that it originally belonged to their father, but the rumor didn't know who owns, you know, who owned it now. Or the rumor is that it still belongs to the Yisomim. Okay, Phil's story deals with that, and he picks one side. We'll see the different study. So we'll have to figure out exactly what was the content of this rumor. Amrli Abayi, Amrli Izi Gufa de Ovda Heicha Habi. Abayi said to Rabbi Sharchem, tell me please, Izi, by the way, is a very hard word. It never seems to actually have any function. Like you could always skip it and it would be exactly the same. So you could say, we'll skip and be exactly the same, but just curiosity. What did the word Izi mean? It's a funny word. Okay, I'm already telling you. It's not going to be interesting because it doesn't make a difference. I see I don't have all the swarm here. So they're still stuck outside. But anyway, it's not clear. And Rashi never says what the word easy means. But there's a Rashbam in Toldos who says, Mi efo hu hatsad sayid. Where the efo is the same thing. Rashi points out, you could skip that or mean the same. It's just, you know, some added emphasis or something. And the Rashbam says, oh, it's like easy in Aramaic. So apparently, easy is like me, a foe. It's like just some added emphasis or drama. You know, I don't know if you want to make emphasis in drama in English, you would say pray tell, right? So, okay, that's the word easy. The only clue we have is Rashbam and told us what?
Or verily.
Like, or, yeah. Oh, Rashbam and told us says like me, a foe.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, okay. So tell me indeed, however you want to say it.
I thought it was for the present.
What? okay, but nonetheless, this means something. Guf of the Hechavi, the guf of the Maser, what actually happened? Tell me the truth, Abayi says. Amar lay, and he says, and again, it's going to be very similar to our last case. I mean, the analysis is going to be different, but it's not about a star. But Arav Mashkota have an Akitame Avua. I had this land in a Mashkona from their father. What kind of Mashkona? The Rashbam points out here, what's called Mashkanta de Sura. This is in the fifth parak of Bav Metzia, a very hard parak, which talks about all the halachos of ribis, parak Yizom Neshech, talks about what kind of mashkanta is also what kind is mutter. And again, the mashkanta has nothing to do with what we call a mashkanta in modern-day Hebrew, right? Those who are not Israeli, mashkanta means a mortgage in modern-day Hebrew. It's very different than a mortgage. A mortgage, that's just called a shibud. That's just called a shibud, and as opposed to a regular loan, which has a shibud of all my nechasim, a mortgage is a shibud on a particular nechas, right? So we call mashkanta, it's not the Chazal call mashkanta. Mashkanta means, in modern day Hebrew, what Chazal called a shibud, I borrow money from the bank, I have to pay back money to the bank, And if I don't pay, they come and take the house. But I live in the house the whole time. I'm holding on to the house. But what? Not the pay. That's the modern-day mashkanta. Mashkanta in the Lashon of Chazal is a totally different deal. It's not a shibud. It's that someone lends someone money, and the borrower doesn't keep his land. The lender takes over the land. And how does the lender get paid back? The lender gets paid back the loan by eating the fruit of the land. The borrower has the right to pay back in cash if all of a sudden he gets a windfall. But basically, the idea of mashkanta was, I lend you money, I take your land, and I use the land, and that's what pays back the loan. So, for example, I lend you X zuzim, and we write in the shtar that I lend you, you know, 10,000 dinar. I have no idea what price of land are. And, of course, you can pay me back, but assuming you don't pay me back, I keep your land for 5 years, and then I give it back to you in those 5 years, pay off the 10,000 zuz. Obviously, we work it out that it's worth everyone's while. Okay, that's mashkanta.
What happens if there's a drought or something?
Good question. If I recall correctly from Ezeo Neshech, which is always something we don't count on when it comes to Ezeo Neshech, you know, Ezeo Neshech is not exactly, you know, a sex Megillah. But if I recall correctly, I think if there's a drought, I'm stuck. I'm taking my chances. Basically, it's buying. I am buying for a certain amount of money a certain number of years, and it could be a bigger crop, a smaller crop. Obviously, it works out that it's worth my while, because otherwise I wouldn't do it. And I end up making money. But it's not ribis, because, I mean, one of the reasons it's not ribis is because I don't know exactly how much money I'm making. I'm really taking a chance, because maybe I won't make enough money. Okay, anyway, he was eating a mashkanta. What does this mean? He had a mashkanta from their father. Before the father died, he lent the father, you know, 100,000 shekel. And he said, for 5 years, wrote a shtar, for 5 years, I keep this land. But he owed me other money. I had money by him, and so he owed me money. He owed me other money. He owed me this money, which I got 5 years eating the land, which are over. And he also owed me another loan of 100,000 shekel, which, according to almost all the Rishonim, was a bishtar. I mean, I have a separate shtar, besides shtar mashkanta, a separate shtar that owes me another 100,000 shekel that I lent him stam. The Tosus Rid is a bit of a das yachid who said it was a milva bal peh, the other one. And the Rashbam, at the end of the sugya, says it could go either way. So that's a das yachid, the Rid, and the Rashbam says you could go either way, says bal peh. All the other Rishonim say it's milva shtar. In any case, v'chalta shtei mashkanta, I already finished, I already used it the years of the mashkanta. And Amina, so what did I say? Obviously, the sort of smooth thing to do, you know, what would the Chofetz Chaim have done? He would have said, I finished the 5 years, I'm giving it back. Oh, you also owe me money for this other loan, so we'll work out this other loan, but first finish this Parsha, and then work out the other loan. That's what the Chofetz Chaim would have done. Doesn't necessarily mean you're halachically required. Rav Bar Sharsha, again, not the regular Rav, different Rav named Rav Bar Sharsha, say? If I give them back the land and say, we finished this parsha, now you owe me this other money, then I'm going to be in trouble, because Chazal said, anyone who collects money from Yisomim has to take a shvua. I don't want to have to take a shvua, because he was reluctant to take a shvua. Here, Lechori is telling the truth, but he's still reluctant to take a shvua. So here we have, you know, a hint to the modern day minhag that, you know, you shouldn't take a shvua even if it's true. So Ella, what did he say? I'll hide the shtar mashkanta. I mean, if he shows the shtar mashkanta, it says, I lent you money in Tuf Shin Ayin Zayin. You get it for 5 years. Now it's Tuf Shin PBs. I have to give the land back. So he said, instead of that, I'll hide the shtar mashkanta. So it looks like I've just been in the land for many years. And I will eat the land for another few years, however, until I get the amount of produce that's equal to the amount they owe me. What's my migo? Since I could say, I could just rip up the shtar mashkanta and say, what do you mean I've been here 5 years? I bought it, it's my land. He could say it's my land, and he would totally win the land forever. Migo, he could say it's his land and keep the land forever.
He's Neman to say that I admit it's your land, but you owe me this other money, and so I'm just keeping it for as long as I need for this other money. Sounds like a reasonable amigo. Amr le, Abaye said back to him, Lekucha b'yadi l'matzav. You actually can't say. Again, we're not sure what can't say means. Can't say means you are, it's psychologically difficult for you to say, or that it would be legally invalid for you to say. You can't say it was Lekucha. I mean, this plan would have worked if not for the cold. But now there's a coal, you can't say you bought it. The Ikal Ekaladardia, because of the rumor that it's the land of the Yosomin. So then you no longer have your Migo, seemingly is what he's saying. So you can't say that you bought it because this coal ruins your Tainus Lekuach. Now you no longer have a Migo. And at this point, Ela Zilla Hadrin Yalayu, go give it back to them. Because the Mashkant is over. When they grow up, then you could sue them for the other loan, which according to older Rishonim means sue them and win. And take a shvua and win for the other loan when they grow up. According to those it's a bit of a das yachid. It's clear that he thinks you could sue them and lose. Right? Probably points that out someplace there. According to those it's written, means you could sue them and lose. Because it's a mil v'al pen, you have no proof of it whatsoever. According to the other Rishonim, means sue them and win. Okay, we'll try to come back to all these things. There's a lot of details here. We'll just try to cover this since the last year, before June's month, before summer, before the... Yeah, I know it's Kite's month, but it's not summer's month yet. The last year before the Bechina, and then June, remember, the rest of May, the Noshi Urn, there's Chazara's Bechina, June, we restart our regular schedule for the summer. But we'll try to at least cover the basics of this. So yeah, so there's a few things that we have to figure out. Okay, one of the things we mentioned already was it is the Mil Mishnah, Mil Balpeh, that Machlokes, and in the end, does he say, you'll win when they grow up? Which is everyone but the Tosfos Rid thinks it's Pasha, that's what it means. Tosfos Rid seems to assume that it means you'll lose when they grow up. He doesn't say so explicitly, but it's pretty clear. Okay, so what are some of the questions? By the way, what else do we know about the case? We only learn on the last line of the Gemara that these Yisomer were how old? They were Ketanim. Right, until now, we don't know if they're Ketanim or Gedolim, because Haboli Parmi Nechli Yisomer has nothing to do with age. But now we see there were ketanim, which affects some of the cheshbonos. So let's take this one step at a time. First of all, what was Rabbi Bar Sharshon's? It's going to sound like a stupid question. What was Rabbi Bar Sharshon's incentive?
Yosomim has nothing to do with age. The Yosomim are 50 years old. They're Yosomim.
So it's a little tricky. Because sometimes in Shas, Yisomim Pashat means Ketanim. Sometimes in Shas, Yisomim Pashat means regardless of age. Like, for example, Kol Almanav, for Shas, Chomish, Kol Almanav Yisom Lo Sanu, the Isser of, you know, oppressing a Yisom. So if a guy's 75 and his mother and father were 100 and both died, you wouldn't say there's an Isser Doraisa oppressing a Yisom. I mean, you shouldn't oppress some people either. So the Gemara actually, when the Gemara discusses these things, the Gemara usually says what type of Yisomim they're talking about, but Abali Parim Nechzi Yisomim is clearly Ben Gedolim Ben Ketanim, and the reason is not because we feel bad for them because they're so little and don't know how to defend themselves. The reason is because we feel bad for them that they don't have access to all the information. What? Like a lokeach, exactly. That we feel bad for them like a lokeach because they don't have access to all the information. Because Taka, even if he's 70 and his father died at 100, he still doesn't know the whole story. And the story went to the grave with his father. It's too late to ask. So he's at a bit of a disadvantage. And since he's at a bit of a disadvantage, therefore we make that takana of lo yipar el tshuva. I mentioned this once before, but I'll mention again, even though we'll keep it as a side point for now. The machlokes seems to be Rashi in a few places and Tosos not an Aleph I'm an Aleph as to why Habali Pari Minichsi Yisomim Lo Yipar El Bishvua. Rashi sounds in a few places like it's Midin Taninan because there's something also in Shvuas Daf and Aleph called Shtab Liglo Praticha. If you have a full star, 100% proof that I owe you money.
I claim to have paid, even though I have no basis for paying, and I'm clearly wrong, or at least rather, on the face of it, I'm wrong. Nonetheless, if I tanya that I paid and I want you to swear, I can make you swear. So this might be the din of tanina. Since if the father was here, he might say, I paid and I want you to swear. We say that on behalf of the Yosomen. That's the havmin of Tosos, seems to be Rashi. Or Tosos himself says, no, it's just a separate takana. Chazal did not do taninan. It's a separate takana that anyone who doesn't have access to all the information, the other guy has to swear. Okay, but this is Yosomen. The Yosomen applies being a dole make tanim. That's very clear. But in the end, it happens to be their tanim, which will clearly affect something. So one question is, what was the incentive for Rava Bar Sharshom? What was the incentive for Rava Bar Sharshom to pull this trick? Now, it sounds like a stupid question because the Gemara says what was his incentive. What did the Gemara say was his incentive?
Nothing.
That he wanted to get out of the Shua. We know what his incentive is. His incentive was to get out of the Shua. But that's a little tricky. Tosos already asks, well, what do you mean his incentive is to get out of the Shua? Why don't you go by the end of the Gemara? His incentive was to collect now and not have to wait many years till the Bar Mitzvah. Wouldn't you rather collect now than wait many years? So Tosos should have said, yeah, but his main incentive was the Shua. But then that's Tosos de Ramasco Amor. He says, didn't he have two incentives? Number one, get out of the Shua. Number two, as you see from the end of the Gemara, they're Ketanim. Be able to collect now and not have to wait for the Bar Mitzvah, which we have no idea how long it is, but it could be many years. So since you're right, but his main, you know, he wasn't in a rush. His main incentive was to get out of the Shua. Okay, that's close to most Rishonim say. He had two incentives, but his main incentive was to get out of the Shua. So here you ask, what was the reason for this trick?
Doesn't Tosef imply that he doesn't care about that
time
at all?
No, you mocked it. Okay, fair enough. I was just, you know, I guess I was trying to clean it up while I say this thing. He probably cared a little, but, you know, not very much. But it maybe he didn't care at all. And of course, everyone cares a little. He just means he didn't significantly care. So again, the shot of the Gemara and Tosfos and Rov Rishonim say to get out of the Shua. However, then you get in, and Tosfos has one small question. What do you mean incentive to get out of the Shua? Maybe the incentive was not to have to be mounted to get out of the Hamtana. I said, oh, he didn't care so much about the Hamtana, he cared more about the Shua. Okay, could be. Maybe he was only 3 months. You know, who knows how old he is so far. But then we get to the question of the, not the next Tosfos, but the third Tosfos in Daf Lamed Gimel. What do you mean get out of the Shua? Mappet don't get out of the Shua. You never heard of Shua's Daf Mem, of Shua's Hatzis? What is Shua's Hatzis? Shua's Hatzis, almost everyone agrees. Not everyone, but the vast majority of Rishonim agree. Shua's Hatzis is a post-Mishneic Takana. That in the days of the Mishnah, there's no Shua's Hatzis. As a matter of fact, there are three levels of Shua. Shua Doraisa, a Shua that's Rabbanon that's more serious than Shua's Hesses, and Shua's Hesses. And in many of the Rishonim, the nickname for the middle case is called Shua's HaMishnah. Because that the Shua is mentioned in the Mishnah. Clearly, the Mishnah doesn't mention Shua's Hesses. The Mishnah only mentions the Shua's Doraisa and the Shua's Rabbanon that are more serious. And most Rishonim assume that the Mishnah never mentioned Shua's Hesses, and that the Mishnah didn't have Shua's Hesses. It was a late Takana of the Amorim. Amar of Nachman, I think, on Shua's Daf Mem. Is it Shua's Daf Mem? Or is it Shua's Daf Mem on the days at the bottom. Amar of Nachman, Shmino, so Shua's Hesses. So later, the kind of days were of Nachman. That's Shua's Hesses. And what the Chapa Shua's Hesses? There's two Lashonos in the Gemara as to the scope of Shua's Hesses. It's generally assumed that Shua's Hesses applies even in cases where there's no specific reason to suspect the guy or no specific need for a Shua. The assumption is that people don't usually sue for no reason. Anytime I sue you for something, I might have some basis, and you denying it might just be because you're short on cash. Therefore, there's some small latest hasafik that every time someone sues, maybe they're right. Except, well, Okay. Nowadays, there are people whose whole profession is to sue for no reason. But I'm talking about, like, you know, like normal cases. You know, the in those days, they didn't have this idea that, you know, you you found big companies and sue them for, you know, all kinds of, you know, there was something wrong with your product, this and that. You're talking about, you know, you didn't sell me something, you didn't sell me something, I lent you money, I didn't lend you money, et cetera. So there's some having it called Einam Tonal Ton Yeshua Love that people don't usually sue for no reason. And even though the guy denies it, maybe he's short on cash, right? He's not moved to become a stomach. So they were talking to his Hesses. So in this case, hold on a second. Forget about the idea of Shuel that you sold him. He asks where Shuel's Hesses in the end. What's going to happen in the end? Let's say he does his whole plan and he keeps it for another 4.5 years till he cheshbim that he made the exact amount of money he was owed. And then he comes and says, you should know it's really your land and I'm returning it to you. I just kept it in order to be repaid my loan. And they say to him, what right do you have to collect this loan? And he says, well, Migo, I could say it's my land, Magabre. So I'll be happy to give you the land back and believe me about this loan and I'm potter from a Shua. They still say Shua's Hesses. What are these someone going to go? They're going to say to him, you stole the produce of our land for 4.5 years. And he's going to say, no, I didn't. And he's going to have good reason. But he's still hyped for Shua's Hesses.
He's still hyped. And what about the Migu?
Migu, he could have said he bought it. And what if he had said he bought it? If he said he bought it, you'd have to search Shua's Hesses. If I say, give me back my Masiftegar that you borrowed from me. And you say, what do you mean you bought it? You have to search Shua's Hesses. So, even with the Migu, they have to search Shua's Hesses. That's the question of Tosus, the Ramaschal Migu, and the, before that, of the Rashbam, Dibur HaMaschal, Mehemnanah. Except, it's a question. He just sort of throws it in his grandfather style, throw in the right facts, so you never have a question in the first place. So, because of this, maybe we should go back. Some of the Rishonim went back, a small minority Rishonim went back and revisited this and said, maybe his reason was not because of Shua. Maybe he's Chayv Shua either way. Because after all, even if he's not Chayv the Shua of the Nifrim and the Yisomim, he's Chayv Shua's Hesed. So let's see. Believe me that it was okay because me, I could have said I bought the land. If I bought the land, I'd be Chayv Shua's Hesed. So now I'm also Chayv Shua's Hesed. Yes. So the Rush said a little differently. What does the Rush say? He said, what was his incentive? Anyone? According to Rush, what was his incentive? According to Rush, what was his incentive? Exactly. To get it earlier, Tosos called to avoid Hamtana. Right? He brings down Tosos, then he says what he thinks, and he says what he thinks is right, but Tera said, Noach ben Arishon, he thinks he's better than Tosos. The incentive was to not have to wait until the Yisomim grew up. He said, the end of the sugya. He shouldn't have to wait until the Yisomim grew up, but either way, he is Chayav Shua. Why? Because if he would admit now, he'd have the Shua of Nifrim and Yisomim, and if he waits till later, he'll have the Shua's Hesses. He'll say, believe me, Migo of Lakuach, and Lakuach of Shua's Hesses. On that, the Rush, how does he deal with the Lush in the Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say his incentive wasn't about the other Shua? So here he says, no. What he meant was, I really don't want to have to wait a long time for my money. After all, that's what I care more about. He says, but if I could get out of the Shua, I might be willing to wait a long time. Meaning, to wait a long time and be potter from Shua might be worth it, but if I wait a long time, I'll still be chayim Shua. So what he really meant to say is, I'm makbid, I don't want to have to wait a long time and be chayim Shua. I'd rather just be chayim Shua. So really, it's a little bit ikker, chasmana safer. He's pointing out the tuffle, not the ikker. What the Gemara means is that, after all, Chazal said I'll have to take a Shua and wait. I don't want to have to take a Shua and wait. I'd rather take my money now and take a Shua and not wait. Okay, so that's how we reinterpret the Gemara. What he means is, I don't want to have to wait and still have to take a shua, and therefore I'm going to pull this trick.
The Tosos Rid has a third shot based on his assumption that it's a milvah bal peh, which the Rashbam also brings the possibility of milvah bal peh, and then everyone asks on the Rashbam, right? We have the Ramban and the Rashbam on the Makor sheet. They're the main people asking on the Rashbam. It says, milvah bal peh, what's this happening to win anyway? You can't collect a milvah bal peh from the Yisomen. Why can't you collect a milvah bal peh? What's the thing of milvah shah and milvah bal peh? It's a milvah bal peh. The lova can always say that it was paid for Rati. Milvah shah and lova can't say for Rati. It's the rule that's called shtark of yadim ay bayim, holding the shtark. How can you claim you paid? If you paid, you would have flipped the shtark. Milvah bal peh, you can always say you paid. So everyone has questions on the Rashbam. The Tosfos Rit says, faithfully in a Hanami. He said that it's no kimta. It's a milvah bal peh. There, lo haya gove bichlal he lo lo haya gove bichlal em haya machzir lahem hakarka. Right, you know why he needed the trick? Because he wouldn't get any money, not now, not later, not with the shua, not without a shua. And again, she just yucked the Tosfos Rid. That the Tosfos Rid thinks the phrase of, what's the Lashon HaGemara? Ishtoi dina b'adayhu. Which everyone else says, and when, but with the shua later, you know, with a lot of annoyance, equals, and lose. So really, he lost his money legami. But he went through this trick to get his money. That was his concern. His concern is that to get his money, because in a milvah bal peh, you have no way of proving it wasn't paid. There's no piece of shtar that would have been ripped up. So his only way of proving it wasn't paid was with the migu, with doing this trick. And then the kol ruined his migu, and he got in trouble. That's not what the Gemara says at all. The Gemara says he did it to avoid the shvua. How can we say he did it in order to collect the money? And here is really, you know, you would imagine this far in a 20th century Lithuanian yeshiva. He says, no, the guard didn't literally mean what his incentive was. They just meant like the lumdish is so behind it, but obviously applied differently. What's the lumdish is so? He takes the approach that we quoted, not from Tosa, not from Aleph, but from Rashi, that the Yisod of Panina, what he really meant, again, you'll tell me this is a dachuk shot in the Gemara. It is a dachuk shot in the Gemara. Okay, that's Tosa's written shot in the Gemara. What he meant is this. The rant is, if I'm honest, I won't collect any money. Why? Because Bezdin will taninan, will make a taina for the assumption that they gave a loan, and I'll have no way to counter that because it's bal peh. What's the proof that there's a rule of taninan the assumption? The proof is that in a milvah b'shtar, the malva has to swear because Bezdin tainas ishtabli dol praticha. Just like in a milvah b'shtar, the malva has to swear because Bezdin tainas for the assumption. Likewise, in a milvah bal peh, the Malvin doesn't get anything as Bezin Tainus for the Soman. So really, when he says Amar Abanan, he didn't mean that's the relevant case. That has nothing to do with our case. He wasn't talking about Shmuel at all. He was talking whether he collects or not. But he says, I'm not going to collect because of Taninan. How do we know Taninan? The case of Taninan Milva Shaval Peh is not in the Gemara. It's not in the Mishnah, rather. The only case of Taninan in the Mishnah is by Milva Bashar. So he's really saying, an Achronish Lumdish Barshar should say, since the Mishnah says that if I had a shtar, I'd have to swear because Bezdin does taninim for the Yisomim. Therefore, by the principle of taninim, if I have milvah bal peh, I don't get any money at all. And that's what he really meant. Okay, these are the three shitas as to why he did this trick. These shitas tie into the question of Ibra Maschil Migo, if I'm not mistaken, which is, how does a migu get him out of the shua? If the incentive is to get him out of the shua, how does a migu get him out of the shua? After all, he's still chayim in hesis. What's the question is? What's the question? If the incentive is lipater min hashua, even with the migu, he is chayim in Shua's Hesses. So obviously, what's the first two ways to answer the question? The first way to answer your question have to be to deny the premise. Who denies the premise? The Rosh and the Rid. And the Rosh says, I'm saying this in order to answer Tosa's question. It says, here's Tosa's answer. I don't like Tosa's answer for a reason that we'll mention in a second. So I'm going to say my answer. So number one is the Rosh was... He was not trying to get out of a shua. Or the Rid, who says the same thing. No, it doesn't matter. Of course he's trying shua. Meaning the question is, you know, would he be chayav shuas hefes if he said lakuach? Or migu dilakuach, would he be chayav shuas heses if he said lakuach? Let's just say lakuach there. But obviously, whatever it happens, said lakuach, since that's his call to migu, that would happen. So says the Rosh, yes. Says the Rid, yes. He'd be chayav shuas either way. He wasn't trying to get on the shua. That was just what it sounded like to me right now. He was really either trying to get out of Tana or trying to get out of losing his money in Gamar. However, that's a Pashup Shalom Gemara. Remember, Pashup Shalom Gemara is that, and Tosin and all the other Rishonim, that his main incentive was to get out. He didn't mind the Hamtana. Or Leo, let me say, he didn't mind the Hamtana so much. He minded the shua. So who's the first person who answers? Who gives two answers to this question? Who gives two answers? Basically, everyone else is going to say no. No! If he taka said bakuach, he wouldn't be chayav shvua. Therefore, if he used the migu bakuach, he's also not chayav shvua, because the migu is in the same position. And that's why the tactic would have worked. It's not been a kol. Kol ruined it. But if there had not been a kol, his tactic would have worked to get out of the shvua. But why wouldn't he be chayav shvua? So what does Rashbam say?
Because of the English Bible kakol, so he doesn't...
Chayav pater mishvua. Or basically, what are the other Rishonim saying? Right? Answers 3-2, wherever we get. What do the other Rishonim say? Shar Rishonim. I'll just abbreviate it because I'm not. Shar Rishonim. No. Hayab Potter min Hashvua. Ilav Hakol. If not in the call, the word is Migu, it'd be Potter Roshua. Because saying Lakuach is Potter Roshua. Why? The Rashbam gives two answers. What's the first answer? Rashbam? Karka. We all know that that ain't as fun like our calls, right? Okay, good. Let's be a little more explicit. Right? Says Rashbam. Ainish button. Al hakarkos. We all know that there are certain halachos that don't apply to karka, right? If you didn't know that, you could find it in the Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? Above Mitzia, Daf. Someone.
I have to look a little bit and look at.
Oh, okay. It's true. It's also in Shurs, but is it also like that? Okay, and then in that sort of shomer being nishba, and then in shvuas, it also talks about everyone else not being nishba. There's no key of shvua on karkos, we darshan from the Torah, right? I'll call Darpesha, I'll shor, I'll sell, samal, tabeita, in the end, by the time we get the darshan of all those words, it means only things that are like the examples mentioned in the Torah, which are called. Dover Metalto Gufo Mamon, right? Movable property, right? Which is intrinsically valuable, movable property as opposed to karka, and abodim, which are hukash lakarka, and intrinsically valuable as opposed to sharos, fine. So karka is pater from shua in kolotor kula. So the Rambam says, of course, those shuas has to be karka. Karka is pater from shua. That's one reason. What's his second reason? The Rambam says, what's his second reason? Why you'd be potter from shua if you said lakuach? Ba'od, decheska shalosh shanim makom shtarkoi. Remember, he's been on land for 3 years. That's all
almost everyone admits
that he's been on the land for 3 years.
So, Chazaka Mokam Shtar Klein, Acheskes and Moshanim counts as a Shtar. If I have a Shtar, I don't need Shuas Hesses. I need Shuas Hesses. If you say I'm guilty, or not guilty, you say I owe and I say I don't owe money. Your word against mine. If it's your word against mine, I win the most of all of Araya. But whenever you win the most of all of Araya, Midaraisa, you just win and you go home, and a later Takana Drabon, and they mean Shuas Hesses. And you have to swear. But if I have absolute proof that I'm right, I don't have to swear Shuas Hesses. If I can prove I'm right, I don't swear Shuas Hesses. And here I can prove I'm right, because Chazak counts the Shtar. If I have proof, I don't have to swear Hesses. You say you didn't sell me the land, I say you sold me the land, and I bring a Shtar. How do I have to swear Hesses? I have Eidos. Chazak counts like a Shtar.
Chazaka imakom Shtar koi.
Those are his two reasons. Those are his two reasons. And Tosfos, in Dibur Maschil Migo, who starts with asking this question, does not like those reasons, and the Rush does not like those reasons. Now, Tosa explicitly only argues against the first reason, Rashbam. Okay, he didn't say, I'm arguing against the Rashbam. Tosa here doesn't quote the Rashbam. He just discusses it. The Rush explicitly brings down both kinds of Rashbam and disagrees with him. It seems from many who showed up and did not take these answers that maybe they don't like either answer Rashbam. Why does it? Why would you disagree with this? Why would you disagree? So, Tosfos and the Rush and others disagree. Because you do make a hesed on karkos. Why? The rule of Amish one on the karkos is only for good or right. You swear on karka. How does he know? It's a mafura shakamatari in subas, right? The pizayan. Pogemesk subasa or edecha neither she parua. What is pogemesk subasa? It's like modem miktas. Guy divorces his wife and she sues him, give me 200 zos for my ksuba. And he says, I paid it all. She says, I admit you paid half, but you stole me the other half. Basically, she's both admits us. She has to swear. Or, edecha mi d'shim harua, right? There's another shua the rice called shua edecha. There's an edecha on your side, the other guy has to swear. She says, give me my ksuba. He says, I already paid, and I have an edecha that I paid. She says, well, you only have an edecha, she has to swear. The Gemara says these are not Shuas Daraisa, they're Shuas Darabonic. For two reasons, they're not Shuas Daraisa. A, because Mi Daraisa only defendant swears, and here the plaintiff is swearing. Mi Daraisa only in Nishba ben Nechter, here at Nishba ben Notel. The Shuas Daraisa does not apply to a Notel, to a Nechter, only the defendant. It says, Belochach ba'alav below Yishalim, Shuas Hashem, etc. Below Yishalim, Shuas is only for the defendant. And B, Amish brought up Kfir Shiva Karkol. So Ksuba counts like Karka. Why? Because a Ksuba is on money that's written in the Shtar that has a Shiva, a mortgage on the Karka. And the rule is a Shiva on the Karka counts like Karka. And therefore, it's on Karka and it's the plaintiff. So it's not a Shuadar, right? So it's only Shuadar Abaman. That's the Shakuntari. Just summarize for you. You know, had half an Umud in Ksuba's not piece. I have an Umud. Pretty sure I remember it correctly. So Tosa said, it's mukher from there that a shvur drabbani, you do swear in karka. Right? It's black and white. And that's the daraisa, you wouldn't swear in karka. But me drabbani, they were talking, you do swear in karka. So you see, really, shvur drabbani applies to karka, which is what almost everyone in the whole world says against the Rashbam. Right, it is a very, the Rashbam is a bit of a das yachid here. They all quote many for the Gaonim against the Rashbam. I'm sure someone, some place reads the Rashbam, but offhand, I don't remember who reads the Rashbam on this. I'm sure they would tell you. Disagree.
The Hagos HaShri.
The Hagos HaShri someplace agrees with the Rashbam. Where? In our service? Okay, so I don't have any idea who that Rosh Hashanah is quoting. Okay, there's one at Rosh Hashanah someplace that agrees with Rosh Hashanah. But it's a Dasi Yachid still.
It felt to me learning the Sikha that someone should think that moving from a Shura Dereis to a Shura Derabanan, even a Shura Hesed, would be beneficial somehow.
No one did think that? No one thought that?
Something, why can't Rashbam just think that? Meaning he's saying, you
know, okay, first of all, did anyone think that?
I don't remember offhand.
Okay, then you should learn that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's save that till we get there.
Okay. Okay. The Rashbam is not surprising at all if you just think that.
I don't think that's what he's saying. He means literally Yishpan al-Karka. You're rereading him the Yishpan d'Oraisa? No, I think that's too much of a rereading of Rashbam. He's literally Yishpan al-Karka.
That's what Rashbam is trying to avoid.
You're too creative a reason of Rashbam.
Next line.
Yeah, and also it's a star. You think a star also means it's not a Shabbat d'Oraisa? I mean, anything could mean anything, but... I didn't push to other Shabbat, but if you say English one, it means English one of the cloud. I hear your Tanya, but I'm not Makabalah. Okay, one second. Because Nishboyen Shvua Durabonon Al Ha Karkos. Right? Anyone know in English how you say Karka in the Talpulin? Karka is real property, and the Talpulin is personal property. Okay. I mean, in a certain specific type of English. In law, in the court, you would say real property for Karka and personal property for Talpulin. Hebrew is much better because you actually say words that mean what you say. Karka is Karka, but Talpulin is Talpulin. Does it say in the Sifta how the Rashbam is going to answer the question from Shmuel's Daf Pei Zayin? No? Then ask for your money back. How would you? Yeah, I know how Yoni's going to answer. He's going to say the Rashbam didn't mean what.
Rebbe, you already took my book.
He's going to say that the Rashbam didn't mean what I'm claiming he meant. But if you take the Rashbam, and the way that I think most people assume, how the Rashbam answered the Kashim not Pei Zayin, after all, is it a Furish of Shmuel's Daf Pei Zayin? That a shvur the rabbanah you do swear in karka.
My answer is a little bit more in the other direction, but is it possible to say that he's like presupposing Tosus's point and coming past that point? I mean, in shvur al karka, in this situation, you wouldn't even have a shvur that because it's tanitbari, not tanitbari.
Okay, you're not being nice. You started with is it possible? Of course, it's possible, but is it reasonable? I don't think that's shot. I think he means just potter because of exactly what he says. Why can't you say it is? No, because if it's before Nachman, then the reason he doesn't swear is just because there's nothing to swear about in the first place, not because of karka. Meaning, before Shemesh Hesed, you don't swear on anything unless you meet something mentioned, unless you're one of the cases in the Torah or the Mishnah. This is not any of the cases in the Torah, not any of the cases in the Mishnah. So you should probably understand
the
problem.
He agrees with the Rosh about seeing the comment between karka and money of karka.
But what does he do with the Gemara and Subas? It's fierce with karkos. Okay, so I think Adi's right. Obviously, there's a lot of lumpus behind this. Is a big Rakhayim based on Ramban and the sixth paragraph of Shmuel who deals with this. Meaning, Tosa's question is not really such a good proof. Even though, again, that's a majority Deya. Because that's a case of Kfir Shibud Karkos, not Karka Mamish. Who says Midrabana you swear in Karka? Maybe just Midrabanan. You look at money as money and ignore the fact that it's fear of sheep and karkos. I mean, the king of Tzimish is really suing for money, which is the Talpulin. Just the money has a sheep on the karka, so it counts like karka. Who says Midrash Bani swear on karka? Maybe Midrash Bani, you only swear on the Talpulin that also have a sheep on karka, but not on karka mamish. Basically, Tosin, everyone else assumes Midrash Bani, they erase the rule of karka versus the Talpulin. And what Ozzy's suggesting is no.
He was already charged
on the surface level. I said, no, Midrabanan, they said, I don't care about the Shibud Karkos, I only care about Karka Mamish. And that's the minute of Midrabanan, you swear in the Ksuba money, because it's not Karka Mamish, you're suing for money. And you ignore that it's a Shibud on Karka. But that Karka, that's what I think, I'm sure you've got to say it, except the name of someone, I think is the best answer for the Rashbam. Again, you can give many answers. But I think the best answer to the Rashbam is that all we prove from Ksuvas that it's Shuas Rabbanan apply to Kfira of Maos, which has a shibud on karka. But we never have anywhere in Shas we see a shibud on karka mamish. And here he's talking about karka mamish. Because if he said the kuchi biyadi, yeah, it's all a migri because I bought the field, bought buying the field is karka mamish. It has nothing to do with any loan of money. So Nirlani is diting that. The Rashbam would answer, Lani is diting. The Rashbam would say, Dinishbain Shvud Rabbanan al Firas Shibud Karkos. What does Shibud Karkos mean? Money which has a Shibud on Karka, but I'm suing you for money. This is a Shibud on Karka. Avalo on Karka Mamish. Kach Nirlan Yisdaiti, all the Rabbanan did was say, for Shvud Rabbanan, we'll compromise on the fact that anything affiliated with karka counts like karka, but we're not going to make a shvud karka mamish.
One may be limited. I'm not sure if it's true, but like, is this only in the case of Chas Kiddushin, or even if it was a shvud on karka without the potential necessity?
Thank you. This before the before. Okay. How about the second point? Hazaka v'makom shtar kai. Tosos obviously disagrees. If Tosos didn't disagree, he wouldn't need to give another answer. But Tosos doesn't explicitly say why he disagrees, right? Meaning, many of you showed him disagree with each of these chapters. Anyone who needs a different shita obviously disagrees with this shita, right? But here the Rush disagrees, right? Why would you disagree with the Rashbam that v'makom shtar kai? And this is a big machlokas spread throughout the Maseches. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning of our Perek, right? What's the first thing that happened in our Perek? Oh, what's the first thing that happened in the Ritva in our Perek? The Ritva in the beginning of the Perek says, give me a second. Sorry, give me a third or a second. Yesh Omen? Yeah. The Chol Tzitzar Kvarach Hazak Ubiro. Yesh Omen Tzitzar Kvarach Hazak Ubiro. Yesh Omen Tzitzar Kvarach Hazak Even if you have a Cheskes Gil Shanim. That's everyone. Again, the Rashbam. Shuke V'chein Kvarach Rambam. The Rambam writes the Furish. The Rambam writes, like, close in a rails. You have to swear she was Hesses on Lakucha, on a tiny of Lakucha. The Yeshomer, the Chazaka Bakam Edom or Shtar Medes. Chazaka counts like Shtar or Edom. Shtar is Edom, but Shtar, Edom's on there. The Engel of Shua Klau, a field to a bari, Kane, Nira Lemori Hara, not sure if one of Arkay. Okay. So he quotes his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, agreed with Rashbam. But he points out that Rambam and many others disagree. So here, the Rush disagrees, the Rambam disagrees, and others disagree. However, the Ra'ah, which is in the Ritva, the first line of our Perek, the Ra'ah agrees. Okay, there may be some more obscure shitas that agree. But I would say most Rishonim disagree with the Rashbam here. Okay, right here in the Rambam and the Rashbam, they quote there's someone, they don't say the name, who agrees with the Rashbam, but they don't give him a name. So why does the Rush disagree? What does the Rush compare? What does the Rush compare it to? What does he compare it to? What does he compare it to?
I mean,
no, that's in terms of the first. I mean, he says, well, Modu makes us humans for a karka. So don't say, well, Modu makes us humans for a karka. This is also a third karka. He stole the swear. Okay, but then what does he compare it to? He doesn't compare it to Modu makes us because Shur Darais wouldn't apply to karka. What does he compare it to? Chazaka on Shar
doesn't go all the way.
Chazaka on Shar doesn't go all the way. What does he compare it to? He compares Chazaka on karka to Chazaka Amitaltalin. Exactly. Back to the book. I think everyone agrees that if I say to me back the book you lent me and you say that you didn't, that you bought it fair and square from your local farm store, that you have to swear Hesses, right? If I say, you know, you owe me 1,000 shekel and you say you don't, you have to swear Hesses, meaning
chazaka that you're holding onto your metalkalin is not enough to pocket you from Hesis. Likewise, chazaka of three of the karka is not enough to pocket you from Hesis. Meaning chazaka is not like a star. The Gemara does say in one place chazaka is not like a star mitzvah. All that means is that a chazaka is an excuse for not having your star. It doesn't mean a chazaka is the power of star. That's the question. Well, is chazaka the power of star? Or is it just happen to be something you do that you use as a proof when you don't have a star? The Rashbam thinks, and the Ra'av thinks, chazaka has the power of star. That's what the Lashon of the Ra'av, the very first paragraph of Ritva, maybe second paragraph, depending on your paragraphs, on our parak, says, chazaka mochem edim ul shtar medes ve'ein alav shvua klal. And that's the Rashbam. But the Rambam, I'm not going to open the Rambam to read you, but if you just open up the Rambam, it's the beginning of... I don't. I'm on the riff already said. Yeah, I guess you should never trust anyone, even the riff. You open up the Rambam too. The very beginning of the Hilchos of Cheskes Abatim, right, which is the 11th parak of Toin Benitzan, and he says here that. Right, the regular din of cheskos yimoshanim with all the conditions and caveats, etc. Mamino, so the other room in this room in heses shemakul shemon. Then the guy who has 3 years chadaka wins, and just heses where heses. So the rounds clearly like the rush, like implicitly Tosos and many others, that you have to swear heses. On Cheskes Gimel Shanim, that you have to swear Heses on Cheskes Gimel Shanim. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is how strong is Cheskes Gimel Shanim? It really goes back to the beginning. So, yes, what is Cheskes Gimel Shanim? If Cheskes Gimel Shanim, it's a Raya Gemura Shtika Samar Kama, right? It's a Shtika Goda. If it's a Raya Gemura, then the Rashbam and the Ra are correct. You have a Raya Gemura. Why should Sir Hesed the Raya Gemura? But maybe it's not a Raya Gemura. Maybe it's just like the Russian Tamir to Motakos, right? Maybe it's only to kind of Rabbanon. Maybe it's only, it's not a Raya Gemura. It's just enough of an excuse for not having your star that now you're Moshe, right? Remember, the Rabbanon says, really, you should win in less than 3 years. You need 3 years so that you don't have a Reyes of Achli star, but really, you win because you're Moshe. So I really think that is the very fundamental machlokes. The fundamental machlokes is they think that Cheskes Gimel Shanim equals a Raya Gemura. And why are we Raya Gemura? Not because I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to my metalklin, and that's not enough for Raya to get me out of Shuas Hesis. That's just the ultimate model of a Raya. It's a Raya Gemura because we got his part for 3 years that obviously, it says if he said explicitly that I'm right. So then the Rashbam and the Rambam corrected. There's no Shuas Hesis. You have a Raya Gemura. Why should you Shuas Hesis? You have a Raya Gemura. And they say, I'm welcome to start by. The other Rishonim would say, like the Rush. What did the Rush say? No, it's not a Raya Gemura. It's just like Mutzokos. I have the upper hand. Right? I have the upper hand now, and you have to do them wrong. I own a Raya Gemura, I just have the upper hand. Or if it's Takana, then, and the Rush is comparison, if you take it very, very literally, says Midin Muzotah, is the beginning of Takana. Let's say for the Rambam, if you think the Rambam is Takana Rabbanan, or the Rush is Takana Rabbanan, yeah, just Takana Rabbanan, of course you have to rehash it, so you don't have good proof. or if it's a takana, if it's a takana, you would think, of course, I'll have to wear Hesses. Maybe it's even on the board at the beginning of the semester. I don't remember what I have before. We originally introduced our parent. If it's a takana, this is probably on the board, like, you know, like here someplace in some hakira, what Cheskes Gimel Shanim is, that we have column, not with a Hesses. And Minas, you know, I'm assuming that I'm saying the same thing now I said then. I'm assuming that I remembered to put it on the board then. I didn't say, let's wait for Rav Sharshom. I didn't then say, let's wait till March when we get to Rav Bar-Shar show. I put it on the board right away. But look, if it's a Raya Gemura, then the Rashbam is right. If I'm a Raya Gemura, why do you have this?
why don't most Rishonim disagree? They think it's not a right anymore. Maybe it's just a muchzakos, and I don't have a reis of achli shtarach. Maybe it's just some sort of muchzakos. Maybe it's just a kind of rabbanon. If so, then I have a hold on it. My hold is not 100% proof. It's just I have the upper hand, right? The takana on my side. But then I should still have this merhesis. So that's why many disagree with the Rashbam. Okay, so let's go to Tosos. If you disagree with the Rashbam, where do you end up? Maybe you could end up like Tosos, right? Tosos and the truth is, interestingly, the Ritva says, and if you're not like the Ra'ah, and it says the same thing as Tosos. He quotes this from the Rashba. Okay, there's a lot of Rishonim here saying. Let's go to 5.
Tosos.
Ve'od. How do they answer why there'd be no... Again, everyone's assuming he's getting out of the Shua. Meaning with a Migro Bakochi get out of the Shua. Because Lakuach doesn't have to swear. Why not? One answer, Rashbam. Second answer, Rashbam. Those are both minority shitas. Third answer, the Tosos, which maybe is even more of a majority shita, or at least, you know, say your vote will half and half. What's Tosos' answer?
Some don't have a Tana Vadeit.
Exactly. If you go back to the Gemara of... You go back to the Gemara of Shuas Hesis, right? Remember I said it was the end of the Mem of Days? And I quoted you, but I'll prove to you that I wasn't lying. Amr of Nachman and Mashfino, so Shuas Hesis, my time. Why did they make this Takana Shuas Hesis? Kazaka, and I'm developing Yishol, Kazaka, a person would ensue and claim that you owed him money if it wasn't true. I mean, the whole basis of Shuas Hesis is the tainus bari of the plaintiff, right? The whole reason they're talking to Shuas Hesis is because if the guy says you owe him money, come on, we at least think there's some decent chance. So all the Rishonim say, of course, you only swear Shuas Hesis based on tainus bari. It's all based on Ein Adam Tovea Ken Yesh Lo Olam. If I say I might owe you money, then I'm not in Tovea. Right? So, therefore, you only swear in a normal case of Cheskes Gimel Shanim, the Machlik has to swear. I own this field, and Leo's been farming it for 3 years, day to day, and he says he bought it for me. Then he has to swear Hesus. I have Tainus Bari, he didn't buy for me. But in this case, there's no Shuas Hesus because there's no Tainus Bari, says Tosos. And the written being apparent in many other Shanim. Because there's no Tainus Bari, the Yisroelim say, we don't know if our father sold it to you. If there's no Tainus Bari, there's no Shuas Hesus. That's what Tosos said in the end. Yisroelim, they just want Shuas Hesus, they have a Tainus Bari. Okay. Tosos saying that there's no Tainus Bari. That's why there'd be no Shuas Hesed. That's why his plan would have worked if not for the coal. Remember, if not for the coal, his plan would have worked because the meat would have popped him from the Shvuah, except according to the radical shot from the Rush of the Rid. Why? Because of course, wouldn't have to swear. He would have to swear if the father was alive and saying, I'm declaring that I'm right and you're wrong. But since there's no Tainus Bari against him, he doesn't have to swear. Who does not like Tosos' answer? The Rush. The Rush starts with, I don't like the Rashbam's answer. Explain why I don't like the Rashbam's either answer. Then he goes on and says, here's Tosos' answer. And then 2 sentences later, he says, but I don't like Tosos' answer either. I like my answer. That's why he gives a radical reinterpretation of the whole thing. Why doesn't the Rush like Tosos' answer? Why doesn't the Rush like Tosos' answer? After all, Tosos seems to have a good point.
The father could have said Bari, and it carries over.
Say that again?
Father could have said Bari, exactly, so it carries over.
Exactly. Again, he doesn't say it in quite so many words, but I think it's clear that's what he means. And he's really the Shitasei Ksubas. There's a Russian Ksubas. I don't know if it says here where the Russian Ksubas is. Like the end of the first or beginning of the second parak, doesn't matter. There's a Rush Mitzubas who says, Taninan counts as Tainus Bari. I think we might have mentioned this once. When Bezi does Taninan for Yisomim or for Lokech, does that count as Tainus Shema? They say maybe this, maybe that, maybe that. We're helping to explore all the maybes because you don't know what happened. So therefore, we'll do Taninan for you and say all the maybes. Or no, does Taninan even count as Tainus Bari? A big chiddush for Taninan to count as a Tainus Bari because Tainus Shema, that's not such a big chiddush. If I come into court with my business, Bezin doesn't even bring up Shemas because if I didn't bring it up, then I'm admitting that it's not true. Right? If I come into court anything I don't bring up is not even a Shema. If it was a Shema, I would have said it. Anything I don't say, I'm a vater. But if someone comes to the court who doesn't know the story, the Yoresh, who doesn't know what happened, then Taka logically would say, Shema, anything happened, right? Who knows what happened? Anything could be a Shema. And we do all Taina Shema for them. That's obviously what Tosfos here thinks. The Taina is a Taina Shema. But the Rosh says no. The Rosh says she's tossing Ksubas. He's the diet from the, obviously the diet, according to one way of interpreting part there, that Tanina counts Taina's Bari. Says Tanina counts as Taina's Bari. And therefore, he can't give Tosfos the answer. Rosh disagrees. Because he holds, again, he doesn't say it here in that so many words. He just says, oh, even though there's Shema, Tanina is still going to make him swear to his Hesed. Then you put this together in the Russian Sumos, who says that Tanina counts as Tanya's Bari, if there was any Bari with Shema, because he holds that Tanina counts as Tanya's Bari. That's a big Kiddush. It's a big Kiddush that Tanina counts as Tanya's Bari, because, like, no one actually knows. We're just speculating and theorizing. So he was saying, no, nonetheless, even though we're speculating and we're just theorizing, nonetheless, especially if we say Tanina means let's pretend the father's in court and see what he might have said. Let's put on an act, you know, put on a play what the father would have done. Okay, maybe the father would have come and done a Tanya's Bari. You know, it's not just bringing up possibilities. Say Tanya and Tanya Shema, they're exploring possibilities. Exploring possibilities is not such a big kiddush. Again, they wouldn't explore possibilities if the guy was in court because he didn't bring up a possibility, that means mamater. But it's good to explore all possibilities. Say, no, it's more than exploring possibilities. We're mamish making a ki'ilu. We're mamish making a, I don't know how to say it, ki'ilu, properly. It's mamish as if. It's a big kiddush. Not just exploring possibilities, it's much as if someone was here tiny. What gives us the right to do that? It's a big finish. Maybe it's a kind of rabbanon, I don't know. But that's the big finish. The Rosh holds Tanina the Tanya's Bari, and therefore it is not a good answer. Obviously, the Tosos and others hold the Tanina and counts as Tanya's Shema. There are other answers to this as well, though. Yoni brought up the answer to Sefer Trumos, right? Who's the Sefer Trumos? First of all, never confuse the Sefer Trumos with the Sefer Truma. Right? There's two books, Sefer Truma and Sefer Trumos. What makes it a little confusing is that when the Achronim quote them, they're not machbid on Rabbim and Yochid. They'll quote the Sefer Truma and quote the Sefer Trumos, or vice versa. But they're two totally different books. And you couldn't really confuse them, because the Sefer Truma is only about Or Chaim and Yerodea. No, the Shabbos, the Kashrus, etc. And the Sefer Trumos is only about Choshen Mishpat. Only about the Dinei Mamonos. So you can't confuse them, but they're written by two totally different people. The Sefer Truma on Or Chaim and Yerodea, that's the one that comes up a lot in, you know, if you learn Mishnah Berurah and you read the little parts of the Ramah often says that's sheep of Sefer Truma, right? Can't melt things on Shabbos. Where is that Shita come from? The famous Shita Sefer Truma and many other things, and regular Lacha Maisa, the Shita Sefer Truma. That is Rav Baruch of Revisor, Rav Baruch of Worms, who is a Talmud of the Re, meaning third generation of Tosos, Rav Tam, then the Re, then the Tamim of the Re. He's one of the Tamim of the Re, Rav Baruch, quoted often in Tosos, says Rav Baruch wrote in Sefer Truma, Rav Baruch wrote. This has nothing to do with this. That's not going to make it into Balavashka. This is the Sefer Trumos of Rav Shmuel Hasardi, if I'm not mistaken. Rav Shmuel of Sardane. It's someplace in Spain. Who's the Talmud of the Ramban? He lived in Spain. It's the Talmud of the Ramban. Sefer Trumos, the Talmud of the Ramban. He wrote a Sefer on Dini Mamonos. And if you would learn for Dayanus, open up a Torah to Beis Yosef and get down to the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, you can see a lot of Sefer Trumos. You would see a lot of Sefer Trumos. Meaning, you know, if you're thinking about, like, what's for it, if you're learning Dayanus and starting to read the Beis Yosef and Choshen Mishpat, what svarim do you regular yeshiva guys not learn and not even have heard of that you would encounter a lot? I would say a lot of Sefer Etters and a lot of Sefer Trumoses. Maybe those would be the two biggest ones that, you know, you don't find in the back of the Gemara, even like Rabbi Yoram wrote the word quoted in the word that I didn't know. Okay, that's the Sefer Truos for Shmuel Hasardi of Cerdane, C-R-D-A-G-N-E or something like that, in Spain. Who's the Talmud of the Ramban? The Sefer Truos, he discussed a few things on this sugya. He has other interesting things to say as well. He starts with, he quotes the Tam of Harav Moshe Zal, Shepatra B'Moshua, he, L'chor, means the Ramban, I'm not sure, but L'chor means the Ramban, who would agree with Tosfos here. But then he says, Ikman Dar, he doesn't say who, he says, Yesh Omrim, and he says like Yoni, right? Baruch Hashem, the Sefer Trumos, with Vachavati Yoni. Says the Sefer Trumos, he says, and Yoni's going to say, he doesn't know why everyone didn't say this, or maybe he's going to make everyone say this. Says the Sefer Trumos, it's again, Vishen Yesh Omrim, but I don't know who Yesh Omrim is. Says the Sefer Trumos, he says, Tosfos doesn't know what popular stuff. Says the Sefer Truos, he says, ah, of course he's chayav shur either way, but it's a different level shur. This is a big machlokes. What's the difference between Shvus Heses and let's call it Shvus HaMishnah? Everyone agrees. No matter when you think Shvus Heses was made, Shvus Heses is not in the Mishnah, right? So the Shvus of the Mishnah is Shvus Heses. But again, almost everyone agrees. Not only Shvus Heses not in the Mishnah, it didn't exist in the time of the Mishnah. It was only at the time of the basis of the Mishnah. Okay, so Shvus Heses versus Shvus HaMishnah. What's the difference in Shvus Heses and Shvus HaMishnah? So Chanarach, already even in the Machaber and Hilchos Toi Minitan, he brings out a machlokes about this. What's the difference in Shvus Heses and Shvus HaMishnah? So, according to many Rishonim, there's a big difference. Shvus HaMishnah has been Kitas Chifetz, right? What did the Kitas Chifetz mean? You have to hold a Sefer Torah, right? Like, you ever see, you ever in court in America, put your hand on the Bible, right? That's the Kitas Chifetz. Putting your hand on the Bible is very, very clever. That's the Kitas Chifetz. I remember giving the Shaila once. It's a crazy Shaila. Sometimes we get a Shaila and, no, Chas V'Shalom. I don't really mean this, but you just want to slap the person and say, and you have to do another stupid thing and another stupid thing and another stupid thing. So it was the most sincere, wonderful person ever came that the only problem is that she swore with her hand on the mezuzah. I never heard of the Jesus of Chayim's about that. We don't do this in Desmond anymore because we're afraid the whole world will be punished. That she would do all these tremendous nihugim tovim that were impossible. She would never say Lashon Hara again in the rest of her life, and she'd say Tehillim every day, it's coming from a very good place in the heart, but it was not checked by practicality. And what do you do in this case? Right, it's a big question. Can you be matur? You can do a Tars Nedar, technically a Tars Shvuah, right? For Shvuah, that was, in the Kitas Chifetz. Okay, that's the Kitas Chifetz. So apparently, even nowadays, there's someone, at least who I once met, who did Shvuah ben Kitas Chifetz. So that's Shvuah ben Kitas Chifetz, and a Shvuah Heses, everyone.
What about a printed saber?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. The Rishonim only mentioned, the Gemara mentioned Sefer Torah and Tefillin. The Rishonim always mentioned, also discussed Sefer Torah and Tefillin. And I'm not sure. The simple pshat is that we're not being Kitas Chifetz. Anyway, the Lemaisa, Shvuah Heses, everyone agrees not being Kitas Chifetz. But the other thing I focus is, clearly, a Shvuah Daraisa is Shvuah Hashem, B'Shem Hashem. Shvuah HaMishnah is also B'Shem Hashem. Shvuah HaMishnah is almost the exact same thing as a Shvuah Daraisa. There are some subtle differences discussed in Shvuah Daraisa and Aleph, perhaps, which are not in, which are just total side points of weird cases. Is Shvuah Heses a real Shvuah? Do you have to say, remember, like in American court, I swear to God? Or no, it's since Shvuah Heses is not even really a Shvuah, maybe it's not B'Shem Hashem, it's just that they say we're machrim you if you did the wrong thing. That's a big machlokes Rishonim. How serious is Shvuah Heses? Meaning, is it
a violation of the third commandment? Is it Loyanaka Hashem? Is it like so chomer that you want to avoid it at all costs? Or maybe because you're only a baby shvua, and obviously it's a bit of it's a shtickle avera to think it's shvuas heses if you're lying. But if you're telling the truth, certainly don't worry about it, because it's not a real kind of shvua that we're not talking about, that when Hashem said we'll see some Har Sinai, right? You know what they say? He said, don't worship idols in Har Sinai. Sitting on their lounge chairs, other than Jews there who are Baim or Rizzea, and sipping a pina colada. He said, well, Sisa, and the whole earth shook, and then, you know, people fell out of their chairs. Okay? That's, she was hesitant to allow that. Couldn't have been shook, no.
You didn't have to lie in this case. No,
because the point is, if he said Bakuch, he'd have to swear Hesses, and therefore if he says Migo Bakuch, he'd have to swear Hesses on his true time. No, the point is, what was his original plan about the Kol? I'll wait till I eat before and after to get the money, and then I'll say it's really your land, but I eat for this other thing, and I'll win the Migu Blakoach. And then the question is, well, if he did Blakoach, he'd have to swear Hesses. So if he does a Migu Blakoach, he also swear Hesses, but he swears duplicate Hesses. Yet, I'm swearing to his Hesses that you owe me this other $100,000 and that's why I ate for 4.5 years. And believe me, because I could have sworn Hesses on Blakoach. So, okay. In any case, since Zeber Chua was something very logical, Yom said, maybe his incentive was he just wanted to avoid the Shuas HaMishnah, take it down from Shuas Heses, because people don't mind Shuas Heses, they mind Shuas HaMishnah. So he says, that really, he said, here, I think you have to say a yes instead of a no. All these people are... Three to five, and we'll add, but six is already no. Yes, right? 3 to 5 is no. Yes, he would be Chayiv Shvuas Heses. He would be Chayiv Shvuas Heses if he said, Lakuach, and therefore he's Chayiv Shvuas Heses if he said the truth for me, Lakuach. But his incentive was to go down from Shmuz HaMishnah to Shmuz Heses. That was an incentive to do that, and it was worth pulling this trick. Because again, the trick didn't work with the cold. If not, if they pulled the trick, it would work just fine. Because now we come down from Shmuz HaMishnah to Shmuz Heses. And you would have had Shmuz HaMishnah if he had said, here, but Shai, you owe me money. That Mama Shmuz HaMishnah said in the Mishnah. Two without design also. And now he says, I could have kept the land in Shmuz Heses. So believe me that I ate the money, the produce for my debt, and I'll swear Hesses on that, truthfully. And it's worth it to go down to his Hesses. Why did all the other Rishonim not say this? Here, I really have no idea. You always bother me. Why do all the Rishonim not give this answer? Either they just thought it sounded from the Gemara like he was getting out of school with Gamre, or they just thought psychological, or they thought Shmuz Heses very common. The Rambam says Shmuz Heses, the full Shmuz B'Shem Hashem. So maybe some of the other Rishonim, well, not most Rishonim, think Shmuz Heses very common. Or they just think psychologically, people don't make Heshbonos about comparing different kinds of Shmuz. They just don't think psychologically that's how people think. Okay, for some reason, they don't like it. Sefer Truman gives another answer as well. He gives two answers. Okay. Maybe this is qualified to Mechka. The second answer is safe for Trumas because it's a historical answer. He just says, now here it gets a little tricky, I admit, but he says, maybe it was before the Tekhanah Shuas Heses. And when the answer is not yes or no, yes, nowadays. Right? The answer is yes, nowadays. Yet nowadays there'd be Shmuz Heses, but maybe the story happened before Shmuz Heses, and that's why there was no Shmuz Heses. Again, it's a little tricky, because if it's the Kana of Rav Nachman, and this is Abaye, shouldn't that be after Rav Nachman? So, okay, maybe somebody could get to work. Well, so I'm very old versus very young. Here, Abaye was very young, Rav Nachman was very old, and maybe beforehand. Or maybe Rav Nachman made the Takana in one town and it took time to spread to other towns. It's not such a posh historical answer because Abaye is later than Rav Nachman. Otherwise, everyone would have said that. But that's what he says. He said it was before the Takana
of Shmuz Hesed, if you pour the account of Shmuz Hesed, then obviously there's no kasha. And the last answer is Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, why does everyone else not say that pasha? Because Abaye should be after Rav Nachman, meaning he's going to have some hesper. What's Rabbeinu Yonah answer? He first brings down Tosfos. I think everyone mentions Tosfos, if I'm not mistaken. He first brings down Tosfos' answer. He first brings down Tosfos' answer, and he doesn't reject it. Well, as I said, Tosfos' answer is very popular in the Shonen. Then he gives another answer, and he brings out a new, great segue into next year. A new concept in the fifth parak of Gittin. Who doesn't swear Mishnah Tikkun Olam? Who doesn't swear Mishnah Tikkun Olam? Rashi mentioned at the beginning of the Tzion, the Gimel, and then everyone jumps on him.
Meshav Aveda
doesn't swear Mishnah Tikkun Olam. What's the case of a Meshav Aveda? You're going to think of a lot of details, the kimpas you have to fill in to make it work. Okay, everyone, we show to work out your kimpas. I find your wallet, and I'm an honest fellow. I say, well, it says Yehuda Wells. Fine. Google, I find a guy named Yehuda Wells, and he looks like the picture on the driver's license. I give him back the wallet. He says, thank you very much. What happened to the 1,000 shekel in the wallet? I said, well, I found that there was only 500. He says, you owe me 1,000. I said, I'm giving you 500. More than mitzvahs. No, I'm partnership to get olam zav meishav aveda. Okay, you understand the tikkun olam, right? Then I'll say, everyone hears the story. So now we're keeping the wallets because I'd like to be an honest guy, but if I'm going to suffer for it, then forget it. Okay, so tikkun olam meishav aveda doesn't have to swear. Rashi thinks that's part of the discussion. And Bamatzia. So why isn't every mode of mitzvah meishav aveda? You say, I owe you 200, I admit to 100. I'm being a nice guy, I'm admitting to something, why don't we say pottery so that people at least admit to things? Okay, the answer is there because no, because in that case of the mode of mitzvahs, I really want to admit to everything, I just don't have the chutzpah, and I'm stalling, and we have a specific suspicion. But in a stam case, Meshav Aveda is pottery, shuha mishum tikkun olam. That is, okay, to actually take my focus, achronim with the Rashi there, is Meshav Aveda tikkun olam, maybe it's even the concept of Meshav Aveda d'oraisa, but without getting into it. It's a Mishnah in Gittin. Where's the Mishnah in Gittin? Anyone remember Gittin?
That's all that.
The Mishnah in Gittin is, I don't think it's in Shalach. I think it's in Hanizakin. Mem Chesav Beis. And it marks in Daf and Aleph. Motim Tzia Lo Yishav Mishnah Tikkun Olam. Then the Gemara, they use the phrase Mishnah Aveda. Okay, the beginning of Hanizakin. So, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, I know why he would have been potter from Shuas Hesses if he had, you know why he'd be potter from Shuas Hesses. What did he say? Ode, Shari Meshva Veda, who Shemacher Sakarka Li Somer, Vayachalit Lo Koch, Vyadva Meshva Veda Lo Yishom. What did he say? Interesting. He says, yes, if he said what Kuach, he's the only one who makes the skillet. If he said Lakuach, he would be Chayim Shuas Hesses. Obviously, he's not assuming like Rashvan. And he does mean a Tosfos, but he wants to give an alternative to Tosfos, right? Why does he want to give a full of Tosfos? He probably also thought of Rosh objection. Said Rabbeinu Yonah, he said no. Ta'am Lakuach, he would be Chayim Shuas Hesses. But the Taina of it, he's the only one who makes this killer. If he taught a chalti shir zuzi b'migu de lakuach pater mishon meshiv aveda. What do I mean by meshiv aveda? Think about it. If this guy, Taka, he's saying it could be that Tosfos and Rashbam are wrong. If he said, I bought this field from you, he'd have to swear hesis. Why? Because his test on karka, and because Gimel Shana is not as good as a star, and because even though these songs don't know Tanina counts time is boring, but he's not saying, until now we're saying, would he be chayt for Hesses
If you said lakuach, and therefore principle of migul can't make you better off than what you would have said, is he kind of say heses if he said the truth of migul lakuach? Say no, lakuach you have to heses. But when you say I just ate the amount you owed me, the migul I could have said lakuach. That's better. So he's a meshiva veda. How's he meshiva veda? He could have kept the whole land, and no one would have known anything. He could have kept the whole land, which is worth a million shekels. And here he's being a nice guy. He's returning the land and say, here's your million shekel land back. I just ate 50,000 shekel worth of produce from it. That's Meshiva Veda. It's not literally an Aveda, meaning he's giving you back your main property that he had no need to give you back. It's not like the case of Moda Mitzvah where he had a psychological need to admit part of it. Here, he had no psychological or social or legal or any need to admit anything. Out of the goodness of his heart, he's giving back the whole land. He's just saying, but I took a little payrolls for the debt you owe me. That's called Meshav Eger. He's potter because we don't want to punish someone for being honest and giving you back most of your money. So that's what he says. No, really, again, it's all until the coal. If not for the coal, the plan would have worked. Why would the plan have worked? Again, according to the Rush, he would have been Chayim Shula. But he wouldn't be able to collect right away. According to the reading, he wouldn't have been chayav b'shul, but he wouldn't have been able to collect, and otherwise he wouldn't. According to, here we'll, according to the Rashbam, he would have been potter from the shvur if not for the kol, because he has a migul b'kuach, and there's no shvur karka. According to the other idea, he identifies a migul b'kuach, and b'kuach is such a strong proof that it potters in the shvur. According to the Tosos, he would have been potter, because he's a migul b'kuach, and there's no tainus b'ori against him. According to Sefer Chumos, he would have been chayim Shuas Hesus, but the plan would have worked to get him down to Shuas Hesus. So he didn't mind swearing to Shuas Hesus, which the Chora of the Sefer Chumos holds about Shem Hashem. He only minded swearing a very serious Shua, or it would have worked so he would have been Shuas Hesus they hadn't made the Kana yet, or the Rainiona would have worked. So he put in Shuas Hesus, not if he had said Lakua. That wasn't his plan. It was Migul Lakua. He would have worked if he had said, I'm telling you the truth, I just ate the amount you owed me. But me don't look up, I make sure I made that, he's giving you back your land, which he has no need to do.
Is there really going to say at any time you have legal based on the amount of land or money you could claim it's Meshav Veda?
Correct. Basically, the principle of Meshav Veda means any time, again, if my Migo is X dollars, Migo X dollars, that's not Meshav Veda. Anytime my Migo is, believe me, because I could have had a time that and gotten more money, that's Meshav Veda. And that basically, what's funny is that almost like every time I motivate us, basically, yes, every time I have a meagle that I could have had taken more money from you, I'm a Meshav Veda, unless there's a specific reason not to. And again, this would fit with the idea of Rashi and Bavitzi and Akhdiyavo, that the Gemara is very concerned. The house, every motivate us, not like Meshav Veda. And they explain, every motivate us, not like Meshav Veda, because there's psychological forces compelling me to do things that's not of the goodness of my heart. But in this kind of goodness of my heart. Therefore, I'm a Meshav Veda. But yes, precisely. Any time of amigo of I could have taken much more money from you, that is called Meshav Veda.
Maybe how can you have any
reason not to? Yes.
How can you be so sure that Meshav Veda is supposed to be Shuas Hes?
How is he sure Meshav Veda is supposed to be Shuas Hes? After all, the original case of Meshav Veda is only supposed to be Shuas Hes. Having a potter for Shuas Hesus. So Rabbi Yonah would say, well, if it's potter for Shuas Araisa, call Shekane and potter for Shuas Hesus.
That calls
Shekane. No, and Joel's going to say back, no, maybe Shuas Hesus is so far reaching in general that you can't have yourself fit. But I think, again, if you assume that Mishma Beit is for Tikkun Olam, which Minastam, we're going to assume this, right? The Gemara, so, and the Gemara is complicated. The Gemara says, Motsu Mitzia is Tikkun Olam, and we're not learning about Mitzia now, but we learned about Mitzia once, so you can find this in your notes. That there are some Rishonim who say, Motsu Mitzia is Tikkun Olam, but Meshav Veda is Daraisa, Machal is between them. In any case, let's not Machal between them now. If there's some Tikkun Olam, then think about it. If, in order to not, again, we don't want people to like steal money because they say, well, if that stupid system is going to make me swear if I'm honest, I'll just take all the money. So if that's a good enough reason to undo Shuas Araisa, it's clearly a good enough reason to undo Shuas Takana Rav Nachman. If it's enough to Tikkun Olam, we'll go against the Araisa. It's clearly enough to Tikkun Olam to go against Rav Nachman. So I think Rav Yonah has a good point that Meshav Veda should be Potter, that Meshav Veda should be Potter Shuas Hesus.
Okay, the sugya makes Rav is quite complex, and we're not going to get into it now. Let's go on to at least one most basic thing in our sugya. Everything we've discussed until now was, if there hadn't been a kol, what would have been? Literally, there wasn't a kol, what was his plan, and why would it have worked? Right? That's what we have eight different deals about in the Rishonim.
I know if there are other days for Rishonim. You can tell me except there are other days, but you tell me later. Because, you know, we have to move.
I'll tell you the names.
Yeah, the Nesivos of Yad Rava.
The Nesivos is not a Rishon. I thought the Yad was more similar to some of the things we have here. Maybe it's just a question of having subdivide. Okay. Anyway. But Taka, there was a code, and Rav Bar Sharsham lost. How did this code, it seems to have torpedoed his amigo. What did he say? Now you can't say Lakukha Biyadi anymore. You were based yourself on Migu Lakuach. You lost your Migu Lakuach in the coal. How did the coal torpedo the Migu of Lakuach? And what exactly was the coal? And what were the facts of the case? So then we have a tremendous machlok to be shown in. What was the coal? And how did it torpedo the Migu of Lakuach? Or did it even? There's a, maybe I'll start with the most obscure sheet. No. The most obscure sheet that it's like Yesh Omer at the end of the Ramban, or is this the Achirim, quote in the Ramban? The Ramban quotes an Achirim, which is a based on assumption. Says the Achirim, he says, Rabbi Bar Sharshom was a big Talmud Chacham. He was a big rabbi. Doesn't say he was a big rabbi. Doesn't say he was a big rabbi in the Gemara, but they assume he was a big rabbi. So the question is, they basically like, how did the kol ruin his migul? Did the kol ruin the migul de lakuach? The most radical answer, it's a das yachid. We don't even have a name, right? The most radical answer is the Achirim and the Ramban, who say that it did not ruin his migul. Really, still could have won. Abaye was not telling him the halach and kosher mishpat. Abaye was telling him the proper behavior for a gavur rabba, for a big rabbi. After all, big rabbis have higher standards than regular people, certainly when it comes to things like this. What was he saying? Why did the kol take away your migul? There's a lot of rumors about a lot of things, right? Just because there's a rumor, I'm not saying there's evidence. If there's evidence, of course that takes away my migul. That changes the whole calculus. Just because there are rumors, yeah. I sued you in Besdin. There's a rumor that I'm right. It doesn't make a difference. Anyone can spread whatever rumors they want, right? I know nowadays, right? Whatever, you know, whoever tweets the most on social media wins. But in Besdin, no, I don't care how many people believe a rumor. I care if you have evidence. So what difference is it? That's the problem. How did the coal make a difference if the coal is just a rumor? So there's one answer, which is the Achirim. Quoting the Ramban, it says, really, en achanami, he does still have a need. So what was he saying? He was just saying, but it's not, it's pasnish for gavur rabba. If no one knows anything and you're pulling a trick, again, I don't know what the Chofetz Chaim would have done. But okay, let's say what the Chofetz Chaim, he's a regular big rabbi. If you have a clever legal tactic and no one knows anything, so why can't a big rabbi use a clever legal tactic? It's a valid legal tactic. But if there's rumors that you're stealing from Yesomim, and you're saying, but I have amigo, I could have said, wait, you could have said against the rumor? I understand in court, the rumor is that you stole this land from the Yisomim that belongs to them. You could have said you bought it. Really? I could have said I bought it? Yes, legally I could have said I bought it and wanted invested. But a big rabbi? It could die? I could have said I bought it. I could have said this, could have said that. When there's rumors going around that I stole it, a big rabbi should be beyond suspicion. If there are rumors that it's the Yisomim's land, he should give it back to the Yisomim. And it's just the lifting me sure said didn't have a gavur rabba. Okay, you're right, the coal has no halach effect. I mean, that's the question. What halach effect does a coal have in Mamanus? We never heard about coal in Dini Mamanus. The one place we recall is maybe in Dinei Isha, sometimes we might give credence to a kol, and even that only in very rare circumstances. So he says, and a Hanami, he still has a migo, aval gavra rabba. Sorry, it's lahachmir. Okay, he was a gavra rabba. He shouldn't do something which is a rumor that he's stealing. Okay, in which case, it's not interesting Dinei Mamas. Okay, so speaking of brother, we're going to be rabbis. So it's even more halacha l'maisa for us and all the other pshatim. That someday when we're rabbis, it's not enough to be able to win a bet din. You have to act in a way that's beyond suspicion, or at least beyond reasonable suspicion. Okay, yes, Mekadosh Hashem, if you're a gavra rabba, great. But that's not the way most people read the Gemara. It didn't even say if Rabbi Baruch Hashem was a gavra. I don't know if he was a gavra rabba or not. You know, maybe. If every rabba is really a rabba, maybe. Okay, but yeah.
Right, the Rishonim take
this
Havamina and lots of very serious.
All the other Rishonim analyze this as real halachic, correct. Okay. Okay. So fair. So let's take the second shot. The second derech is Tosfos. And who agrees with Tosfos? The Ravid. Right, the Ravid agrees with Tosfos. The Rashba quotes the Ravid, who doesn't see use the same words as Tosfos, but is clearly saying the same idea of the same idea as Tosfos. The Ravid on the Rambam is not 100% clear about this, but certainly could be what he's saying. Tosfos, the Ravid. There are many Yonah quotes from his Rabosa. Okay. Everybody also quotes his Rabbeim said this. Okay, you can find this quote in a lot of the Shulchan. What does Tosa say? Tosa says, he could still win if he said Lakuach, but it ruins the Migo. If he said Lakuach, he would still win, but it ruins the Migo. Why did it ruin the Migo? Someone answered two words. Migo da'aza. What is Migo da'aza? Remember, if looking very psychologically, Migo means, if I was lying, I would have said the other taina. Hold on a second. Not if I have a psychological reason I couldn't have said the other taina. What if it's psychologically? Legally, you can ignore a kol. If my taina wins, I don't care what's rumored. We're not going to let rumors win. Then, you know, you'll turn this into a world where everyone wants to win against and just start this rumors. That's ridiculous. But in mitzad migo, what are you going to say? If I was a liar, I would have said lakuach. No one wants to say something that is against the widely believed rumor. Because if I tiny something against a widely believed rumor, I'm going to get a lot of hate when I walk through the street. Everyone's going to call me Ganeth. Therefore, psychologically, he could have won with Lakuach. But psychologically, he wasn't willing to go there because no one's willing psychologically to get up in bed and win by saying something that everyone knows is wrong. Even if there's no basis for knowing that. So Migo the Hazar, ain't no towing Baratzum Dover, whatever his lashon is. And what does it mean Lomatis Amra? What does it mean Lomatis? Lomatis means not proper according to that Acheret. Lomatis means that psychologically couldn't. It doesn't mean he legally couldn't have had a valid taina. I mean, psychologically, he couldn't bring himself to say Lakua. Because that's going against the kol, and everyone's afraid to go against the kol, therefore he has no migo. That's the sheet of Tosos, and the Rashba quotes from the Raifa. However, the other Rishonim say, right, the other Rishonim say, no. They say, he couldn't win anymore with Tainus Lakua. What is Lomatis Amr? It doesn't mean psychologically couldn't say it's not proper to say. It means it wouldn't have worked. Right? Lomatis Amr means it wouldn't be a winning Taina. Well, look, you can't say it. You can say whatever you want, but it wouldn't have helped you to say it. It would have been worthless and pointless to say it because it becomes a losing time. Those are the three ways of interpreting Watson's office. The das yachid of the Akir in the Ramban, it wouldn't have been proper. Or the Tosos and the Ravid say it would have been a good time in court, but psychologically you couldn't have brought yourself to say it. Or other Mishnah say, no, the Taka, the Kol turned it into a losing time. We just have to figure out how the Kol turned it into a losing time.
There's no real Machlokes, because the Rashbam uses the notion of Kol that he, so it could be that, well, they're just viewing what the Kol is as being different. So it could be everyone in mind, those of us who had a very low Kol. Even those of the Muslims who had fun, if you've got Eva's Kol.
Ah, so what you're saying is they're arguing on Okimta. There's a weak Kol, there's a strong Kol. You want to know how to define weak Kol and how to define strong Kol? No problem. Go to Maseches Yevamos and Seder Nashim and Chazal have exact rules for when a kol is strong and when a kol is weak, and you know there's algorithms for determining that. So though we want to say maybe it's not a machlok, it's machlok in Okimta. If it's a weak kol, then everyone who tells it just means your meal. If it's a strong kol, then everyone agrees. The other Rishonim that it actually makes your time a losing time. It could be in the Rashbam, it might be a little more medrayik. The other Rishonim do not echo that lashon in the Rashbam. It could be, but again, you don't know. It could also be that the other Rishonim might say strong kol to a weak kol wouldn't even ruin your ego because people don't care about kol rumors psychologically. But it's possible, but it could be. So now the question is, why does a kol make you lose with the tainus lakuach? After all, if you have a winning taina, why would a rumor turn that into a losing taina? Embedded in Dini Mamonos, rumors don't change the psak. That's mob rule, right? Rumors don't change the psak in Bezdin. So why would the rumor work here? And I don't know if I want to start from the Rashbam, because the Rashbam is exceedingly difficult to understand. Why don't we start with a different shot? Anyone have another shot? Anyone? Okay, from the Sefta. Anyone have another shot? Not from the Sefta?
Okay, wait.
Okay, another pshat from the Sifta.
What? The Abramah, that it's proof that the property belongs to them. It's even its own raya.
Belongs or belonged?
Or belonged, not sure.
And the Abramah is a little unclear, but let's go to the Rimigash. Do they think the Abramah is the same as the Rimigash or different? I mean, the Abramah has many different pshat, just to be fair. What do you mean? The kol, what do you mean the kol is proof that it belongs to them? Since when is a kol proof? So I think there's the Yazra. I mean something similar to the Rimi Gash. Let me ask you the following question. How do you know who's the Marakama? How do you know who's the Marakama of something? Who's the first owner, right? How do you know who's the first owner?
Last
person we know, and how do we know this person owned it? What? So you might say, how do you know who owns something? How do you know who's the Marakama? He needs to have a shtar, he needs to have Eidim, etc.
Usage without argument.
What?
Usage without argument.
Okay, but says the Yad Ramah here, he said, we learned from our sugya, that even though in Beis Din, a stam rumor is not going to be enough to win in Beis Din against proper evidence or Ruchzokos or Eidus, etc. But in terms of who's the Marakama, I don't mean rumor. If everyone knows who owned this land when they were a kid, that counts as proof that they're the Marakama. Hey, Kol doesn't mean rumor here. Kol means all of a sudden, why is there a Kol who's eating the Aradiyasmi? The Kol doesn't know why he's there, how he's there, what deal was between him and anyone else. The Kol was a Kol of Marakama. Right? Let's start with the Rimi Gash. And then you can judge whether you think the Rama says the two or even three, depending how you divide the Pshatim. What is he saying? He says, Hala da ardiyasvi loka kaima ale chazaka. Give me a second. Let's see if I can find the line very explicitly. The idea that I are davu and the yasmihu, or as the Yad Ramah says,
even more, maybe even a little more clearly, he says something here. He says, here it is. Came in the lawfully kala hashta dar diaspi command the kaima has to be a diaspi dummy. The tolhecha the mikri hayar the planyahi mikri bishmei command the kaima ari because kasi dummy. Whenever everyone calls it someone's land, again reminds me of our season. It's their mochzak machmina labiyah. They are the maisei raya beidu chazaka b'sharim pi raya, and they win until the other guy brings a raya. Basically, what it seems to be here is. That Rabbi Bar Sharshon thought there was no Eidos who was the Marakama. That's how the Rambam views this sugya. Also, if you read the Rambam in our sugya, how does the Rambam bring down the sugya? He says, Misha Heftik Nisekot and Shonim Rabos, Vitan, Va'amar, etc., our exact case. He would win. Shari Einimuk Zekashayil Opin, because there's no Cheskas Marakama to the father. No one knows who it originally belonged to. But if a call comes out that it's the father of Marakama, meaning how did the Rimi Gash and the Rambam and really the Abramah understand this? how do they understand this? They understand the Rimi Gash, the Rambam, the Abramah. You know, there might be subtle differences. For example, did he eat it 3 years? But he ate the land for 3 years after the father died, and therefore it's not a valid chazaka, because when you eat the land and the original guy's dead, there's no one to object to a valid chazaka, or he's not even in the land for 3 years. But either way, what they're saying is that his taina was, as the rabbi says, there was no marakama. His taina was based on there being no proof of Marakama, and the kol equals proof of Cheskas Marakama. The kol doesn't say if he's right or wrong now. The kol just means that there's a Marakama. And once there's a Marakama, he loses. Why does he lose once there's a Marakama? Here's where the Rambam and the Rimi Gash have one approach, and the Yad Ramah is a little more broad. says the Rambam, once there's a Marakama, proof of Marakama, and then he loses because Ein machzikin b'nechse katan. If the akimta is, here's where we don't know what the akimta is, that hechzik bo gimel shanim achar misas ha'av, or add the Yadraman, here it becomes more similar to the Ramban, he says, or even if he did eat each ne chazaka, right? Or even if hexic gimel shanim chaye ha'av. So even the proof of Marakama, why doesn't he win? Because hexic gimel shanim chaye ha'av. What does the Yad Ramah say? And then he ends up the same as the Ramban. What does the Yad Ramah say? What does it say in the Masifta? See if they got it right.
What
I don't know. According to the Yad Ramah, why does he lose? So then we should also put the Ramban here, right? Said the Ramban, he was going to win because they had no Eidos Marakama. Now they have a Marakama. Says the Rimi Gash, he loses, and the Rambam, because now the day of the Marakama, he doesn't have 3 years of Hazaka, because he never ate the land 3 years while the father's alive, and he must even mix a Kata. Says the Rambam and the Ramban,
No, he did eat 3 years. He actually is valid at Idris because he would win a gazillion percent. He has eight and eight 3 years in the father's lifetime, and the father didn't object, and he could have won the time of Slokamon. Yeah, if he had hidden the Star of Shkanta. But, even if Hesem Shavim, because, right, Ein Mekablim Eidim Shavo Ifnei Aldin. You can't accept Eidos if the other guy's not in court. And a Katan counts as not in court. So you couldn't have one with a Chazaka. Once there's a Barakana, basically, what are all these Rishonim, right, have in common? What they're saying is the Kol is establishing who the Barakana was. Until the Kol, no one knew who the land used to belong to. The Kol establishes who the Barakana is, that the Barakana is their father. Now he needs a Chazaka, and now he doesn't have a Chazaka. Why? Either Imamish doesn't have a Chazaka because he aided for three years after the father died, and Imamish leaving Nisei Katan, because obviously the Katan's not both of it, or he actually does have a valid Chazaka, but to have a Chazaka, he needs to bring Aiden to prove the Chazaka, and he's not allowed to bring Aiden against Tanim, because you can't bring Aiden if the other Baldin's not present, and the Katan's always considered not present.
According to this, that he would have said it's not necessarily the Moshana.
What? And according to this, together, he would have said if there's no Barakana, doesn't even need the Moshana. The Gemara doesn't say either way. Right? You don't. Correct. He wouldn't necessarily need the Moshana. That's what the Yad Ramah says. Hi, Maisa Ikal Okume, Bain Bida Ochal Arish Nikal Dagger Chayav Huhon, Bain Bida Ochal Arish Nikal Dagger Lakar Misa, Bain Dulo Ochal Shaykh Dagger Cloud. Yeah, you know, Shekhadaka. To say Lakucha. He could just say, again, as the one being that runner. Why did he say Lakucha? Why not just say it was always mine from the beginning of the world? So that means I bought it from someone and it was never your father's. I bought it from the previous owner. That's one approach. And that his time was basically being no Marakama, so he didn't need a Chazaka. Now that the Kol proved Marakama, Kols don't prove anything. They don't prove who's right and who's wrong when we fight, but they prove Marakama. Because public knowledge is enough to establish who owns something once when there's no reason to think otherwise. Things of who owns something the first time, public knowledge is good enough. Like Nisei Bar Sisson. It's called Nisei Bar Sisson, that's good enough. And why don't you have a Chazaka? Either Okimta, Enoch Zigim Nisei Katan, or, as a truth, there's another one. Or, he actually, right, Yadra says three possibilities. Wasn't there for 3 years, right? That's what our mother says three possibilities. Why doesn't he have a Chazaka once there's Marakana? Maybe he wasn't there 3 years. Or maybe like the Rambam Rabbi Gash, he was there 3 years after the father died. Those don't count because Chazaka, if they cut them, doesn't count because the cutting had to be Oka. Or, no, he actually doesn't battle Chazaka. It just doesn't help him because he can't prove it because he can't bring Eden until their bar mitzvah. Put their hand up.
He said he made maybe the kukla he be off. But as long as he's talking, he should have said,
correct. So basically, right, I think that's the simplest way you're answering that is that Lukukha doesn't mean Lukukha for your father. I bought it a long time ago from the original owner. Or some of the chrono want to make fancy schmancy that really has to have a two-step. He could have said Lakucha Migo, but it was always mine. And then he says, I'm eating the money you owe me with a Migo Lakua, but why do you need the two steps? And then they have to make say even a Migo. Okay, if you want fancy schmancy, you can look at the Sifna, I'm sure they won't. But you can also say Lakucha means after your father. Lakucha means can't rest it on.
Okay, let's just quickly see. We'll just push a shot. What are the other ways of understanding the sugya? There are two other ways of understanding the sugya, and maybe we'll leave it at that. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say? They also quote this from Rav Haim, right? Oh, I'll call it mostly Rabbeinu Chananel, right? Did I say two other ways? Then we just need three to five. What is Rabbeinu Chananel and Rav Haim and the Rashbam? We'll give him a little asterisk because he says more than necessary. What is the Rabbeinu Chananel basic part? All the Rishon quote Rabbeinu Chananel. Why does this coal torpedo your ego? Because it torpedoes times lakua. You can't have times lakua against a coal. Why can't you have times lakua against a coal? Remember, we don't pass it like a coal embedded. He's not going there. He's
What does he say? In one word, why does a kol ruin the taina of Cheskes Gimel Shanim? Mecha, exactly. It's a regular case of Tainas Cheskes Gimel Shanim, and a kol is a kol counts as mecha. After all, what's the point of mecha? The point of mecha is. The point of mecha is that you should have been careful with your shahr once you know the guy was objecting. So what if the guy didn't object? The public objected. If the public objected, I also shouldn't be careful with my shahr. As a matter of fact, somebody should say the public objected is probably because the guy objected somewhere and they repeated and forgot who they heard it from. But in any case, if the whole world is saying I stole the land, then I should be careful with my shahr. What kind of idiot am I? The whole town says I stole the land and I lost my shahr? That's at least as good as the guy saying I stole his land. Okay, so that if we did mecha, in which case the content of the kol is not just who is the marakama. The content of the kol is who is the marakama. Why would I feel threatened and say my shot? The content of the kol is that he's still the owner, right? What's the content of the kol is that's what Pigyotza kol should show you some in, right? Meaning, what's the content? The substance of the kol. Oops. Is that it was his, and here you can say no, but Cole is that it is still theirs. I admit the difference is very subtle, because usually a Stam Cole would be like, say the same thing, it's his, what's this guy? It used to be their father, what's this guy doing here? But if the Cole is just, it used to be their father, then we don't know, that wouldn't be a Macha. If I get up and say, this used to be mine, that's not a mecha. I have to say you're stealing it and it's still mine. The call is that he stole it and I knew this.
It wasn't that he had it, he had the mecha. It was a mecha.
No, the call was, okay, the call was that from now on.
Yeah, but now it's correct.
Correct.
It's
not that it's correct. There. Correct, but it's, correct. The call is that, but again, that it's still there, and that's why he has no right to it anymore. Okay, the last daya I will mention here is the Yesh Omrim in the Ramban and the Rashba. I don't know who it is. Ramban and the Rashba and others. The Shem Yesh Omrim, and this gets into the famous machlokas that Rash brings up between this Yesh Omrim and the Sefer HaEfer. What do they say? That what was the, and it was right in the case of Cheskes Gimel Shanim. I mean, we always knew who the Marakama was, right? That's what it means. We always knew Marakama. Knew who was the Marakama. We always knew who was the Marakama, and then he had a regular Cheskes Gimel Shanim. And what's the content of the kol? The content of the kol is that he was Yored B'Toras Mashkanta. The kol was how he got to the land. The kol was that he came in because of Mashkanta. And what's the rule? Remember, we discussed this one with the Balabar, right? And the rule is, and it rules the Chazaka because Yore Birshos ain't lo Chazaka. And you're also mentioned later on, whoever's Yore Birshos doesn't have a Chazaka. If we don't know how you got the land, then you bring the Taina Chazaka. We don't know how you got the land. I claim you stole it, or I make up whatever story I want. You claim you bought it. That's the Gimel Shanim. But if we know you came to the land, what do you mean Bershus? Like, with some permission, it's not ownership. You came to the land because you bought the payros, because of Mashkanta, because of Aris, because of this or that. Yori Bershus ain lo chazaka. And they prove this from the Mishnayos later on, that Yori Bershus ain lo chazaka. Right? The Elo. She'ein lahem chazaka, right? Ha'omnen v'ashutfin v'arisim v'apatropin, ein lahem chazaka, lo le'ish chazak mechze isho, le'ish le'afad, et cetera, right? Meaning, what is an artist? Someone who goes down to your sharecropper, or an umman, someone who goes down to build, or an apatropos to take care of it. Ein lo chazaka, because if we know that you got into the land, why should you have a chazaka? So, this is actually bring up focus. Tosos agrees. Tosos agrees. He doesn't think that's what's going on. He doesn't think that's what the goal is about. He's a different shot of the cold, but he agrees with halacha. If we know that you came down as a mashkanta, we know you entered. Yorid means entered. You entered the Torah's mashkanta, then you have no chazak anymore. And that's what we saw earlier, that Yorid Rishos is no chazak. The here says the Rashba, but the Bala Itter, okay, there's actually a lot of subtleties in the Bala Itter. We're not going to now, quoting the riff and separately quoting the Rehatan, time, because one's a little more radical than the other, says Yorid Rishos does have chazak. I mean, you could just say, Why did someone else not say the pshat? Because they don't think that's the okimta of this case. Hey, it's a nice idea. That's just not the okimta of this case. But you can argue an okimta. Mesame, everyone else argues an okimta. Okay, why does someone argue an okimta?
You're not allowed to ask that question.
Hey, what's that? This is the okimta that I think fits well with the lashon of the sugya. But the sefer ha'iter, quoting big guns, the riff, I mean, the tam and others, sefer argues l'halacha. And he said, Yorid Bershus, Yeshlo Chazaka. Yorid Bershus, Yeshlo Chazaka. Okay, then they get into hand-to-hand combat. I bring this line in Daf Mem Aleph to prove one way, and then your Docha. And I bring this Mem Beis to prove one way, and I bring this. I'm just going to mention one very, very fascinating machlokas that they bring. It's called Edim V'Ra'ah. If we have Edim that I handed you that book, to lend it to you, and we know you're still holding it, it's in your hand, I automatically win. You can't claim you bought it from me subsequently. It's beforeish that if we know how you took my object, you can't claim I then bought it. Which is why many Rishonim say, if we know how you took the land, mashkanta, you can't claim you then bought it. I can't claim it was mashkanta, but then I bought it. That's what Zayim Okazaka, meaning it's, you're not allowed to claim.
What do you mean? You're allowed to say whatever you want. It's just not believable. It sounds ridiculous.
That you were Yored for one reason. Yored means entered. And then bought it. Right. We did discuss more about this once. That's what we'll say. The enter says no. I'm allowed to say I was Yorid Mok Mekarka and then what? What's called Eden Barad. They're Eden who saw me give you an object. And we know it's still when you receive it in your hand. You wasn't better than your hand. No, no, amigo of I give it back to you. You're not able to say you then bought it. Why by Metaltalin are you not able to say you bought it? But by Karka, the Ether says you aren't able to say you bought it. It says very passionate. By Metaltalin, why did the Mosuk win? Because he's holding it. But if we know how he got into the situation of holding it, that's meaningless. By Kesedim will shun him. Why does the Moksuk win? Because he's holding the land. Why does the Moksuk win? Kesedim will shun him. Why does he say the Moksuk wins? Because it's Shtikas Gimel Shtam. It's Shtikas Hamarakama. Shtikas Hamarakama. We know how you got into the land. You got into the land not through buying it. But why is Murakama Shosei? And basically, he makes a fundamental distinction. He says, by Metaltolin, Eimo Chazaka, because Chazaka is based on holding. And we know your holding is meaningless and irrelevant. But by Karka, Yeshlo Chazaka, because Chazaka is a raya mishtikas marakama. We know your holding is irrelevant, but you know holding is always irrelevant in karma. What's relevant in karma is the other guy's in shosik. So if you shosik for 3 years, then that proves that you bought it. Of course, what will the other rishonim say back? They'll either say, no, karma is really more like metaphylin. That's what we said before. It's really just mulasakos. And then 3 years later, you're sure. It's not really raya mishtika. Or they'll say, you're right, karma is raya mishtika. But maybe the guy was show safe. Maybe you're under shot, so we can think through that. Right? Okay. So that is the one thing we haven't explained to Rashbam. Let's see, 30 seconds. And there's a million other details here. Okay, we'll leave them for now. What does Rashbam think? Where does Rashbam go? What number does Rashbam go, or does he get his own? He definitely sounds like Rabbeinu Chanan. What does he say? He says, let's just finish this. Rashbam, what does he say? We know you entered as a mashkanta. You can't say lakuach.
The ikakala be edus, there's kol and edus. Remember, he said edus also on lamed beis and beis. Repeats it again. The aradiyasmi, that's the ar, the land of the yisomen. The hashish lunyu yashkanta, that you finished your mashkanta years. Kimen yadati is kalolach. Once you knew there was a kol against you, the aradamashkanti gabach. That obviously those say kol is a macha. I would say the kol didn't just come now. The kol has been around all along, even within the 3 years. Okay, what is he saying? You should have been Nizar, your Shtar, Bidin Macha. What's funny is, if it's Bidin Macha, why does he also need to say there's Kol Be'edos, or in Lamed Beis, Kol Shal Edos Emes? Bidin Macha, you don't need Kol Shal Edos, you just need any Kol that makes you scared. And also, why does he need to say that Yediyah Milsa, it's known that you entered in Mashkon. Is it known or is it rumored? Macha, is it known? It's a little funny. What's funny to Rashbam is it sounds like the Rehanadol, but he's adding something to their Edos. What is their Edos of? If there's Edos that he's wrong, then you don't need to say to the Macha, there's Edos that he's wrong. It's obviously not Edos that he's wrong. So why is he, the Rachba, the Rabbi Hanadol, saying there's Edos? What is the Edos doing here? Does he think that?
He's like very into the shard.
Okay, essentially, anyway, Lamaisa, I'll just tell you what I think the Ramban says. Chaim will tell you what everyone in the Sifta thinks the Rashbam, I'm sorry, is saying, is that there are two different facts here. One is whose land it is in the first place and how he got there. And the second is whether or not he subsequently bought it. And what the Ramban is saying is this. If you only had a rumor, if you only had a rumor that you're a thief, you would say, it's a rumor that I'm a thief, but who cares? Because you weren't the Marakama. So we need Eidos that he's the Marakama. If you only had Eidos that he's Marakama, and even Eidos that you came in as a Mashkon, you would still say, but I bought it afterwards. Maybe the problem holds like the answer. Even if I came in as a mashkan, I bought it afterwards. So you need a rumor to be a machas. So maybe the Rashbam is really maybe saying, something like, I think 3 plus 4. He's saying 2 pshatim together. He's saying the only reason he loses is because there's 2 parts. There's the edos, kosher edos emes. But obviously with all the edos emes, you wouldn't call them a machas. Edos emes, just the truth. What you have is Eidos Emes, that their father is the Marakama, maybe even add Yorad Mitoras Mashkanta. And you have a Kol Sheshaveh L'mecha, that he didn't buy it, and it's still theirs. Maybe that's the pshat. Maybe he's saying, because hey, it's funny, listen, it's a mecha, why do you need edus? And if it's edus, why do you need edus? You're right, you don't need a mecha. You're right. If the mecha, why do you need edus? He doesn't give a shana. Why do you need made of anything? So you look, and edus how you started there, but you still might have bought it. Well, then, like this safer answer that even if there's Edus that you came first Mashkanta, you have the right to claim you bought it. But then there's a rumor that you didn't buy it. And if there's a rumor that you didn't buy it, then you should have held on to your shtar, and that counts as macha. So maybe the Rashbam is some sort of combination of 2 pshatim there. Okay, these are the basics around Bar Sharshom. Some of the Rishonim, you might have noticed, get into side questions. Well, why didn't he do this? And why did he do this? And why couldn't he have done this? And come up with other conditions, et cetera. This is the basic lay of the land that ties into many, many fundamental fakiras throughout our perek. And we'll pick up with Kravid, Rav Yehuda Bar Avin, Amir Tzashem, and Junzvan. Okay, I apologize for going late. Special heter of the last year of the semester. Oh, yeah.